animals. The jungle's my home. And I shall show the world that I can be his master. I shall perfect my own race of people. A race of atomic supermen that will conquer the world.
That's a wrap.
And now, coming to you from the Super Digital Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is The Rick Emerson Show.
Fantastic. Why, hello, and welcome to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 2 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and this is the month of June of the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. That's the film clip selected by Mr. Tim Riley. That's the greatest. I'm going to tell you this right now. This is a definitive statement. You know this to be true. You examine, you search your feelings, you'll know that this is accurate. That may not be the definitive Tim Burton film, because I think the definitive Tim Burton film is probably Edward Scissorhands. Maybe Nightmare Before Christmas, but probably Edward Scissorhands. But I got to say, Ed Wood is the best Tim Burton film. I mean, in terms of quality, in terms of just absolute, that's a movie that's perfect. I don't want to uncork that whole topic again, just redo the whole thing about flawless films. Ed Wood, there's not a single bad frame in that movie. There's not one mistake. There's not one thing I would change. There's nothing about it that is... Because sometimes those movies, you think that they're great, and you go back and you watch a movie that you think is flawlessly made, and you think it's a movie without errors, and you know, there's a certain scene that leaps off the screen at you, or there's dialogue that is just sort of tin, and it just rings badly on the ear. Ed Wood is a movie without mistakes. 10 out of 10. Fantastic. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. You can also email the rest of the show, cast and crew, if you'd like. It is sarah@970.am, tim@970.am, or scottyj@970.am. Fantastic. All right, let's see. What is today?
So
today
are
is...
you going to tell me?
What? Oh.
You've banned me from looking at any celebrity gossip today. I don't know what's going on.
All right, so here's the thing. Let me, listen to this. This is the subject line of this email. And this is like one of those things that Tom says, where it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about it or how big a story it really is in the grand scheme of all creation, but when like 150 people email you about something before the show has even begun, you know that you have to talk about it. We wouldn't have talked about it anyway, but I'm just saying the audience is sort of, you know, you go to those sites like Fark.com or Dig or something where they are news aggregation services. The audience is just one big news aggregator. That's how we can judge what the people are really talking about. We have that thing that plays on the station sometimes where it says, you know, talking about the stuff you really talk about. It doesn't matter what everybody... There's a whole class of talk radio hosts who discuss things that they think you ought to care about. They talk about things that they feel that you should believe are important. But we have no such pretense here. We have no... there's really... We don't have any standards. The bar is set so low here. We'll talk about whatever it is that people deem interesting. And today, it is all my subject lines say Paris Hilton. Sometimes with the phrase... torches and pitchforks after it. Here's a typical
Ooh.
One. Subject line, Paris Hilton, Rick. Can I just say that like most listeners, I am looking forward to hearing your disproportionate anger toward today's throwaway events. Signed, Logan. No, not the one with explosive diarrhea. Let's see. What else do we have here? Hold on. Let me look. I'm just going to read a sampling of the emails here. Rick, this is BS. F this. Well, this pisses me off
I
so badly.
So she's out. Is she out?
That's the thing. Okay, we should give a little bit of backstory here. It's been been a bad morning. It's been kind of a hectic morning for me especially. And so we were running around, and so I came in here. And then Sarah and I started the day as we always try to, with some sort of quasi-fight at around 10:15 this morning.
That wasn't me. That was you.
It wasn't even a fight. It was just a one-sided fight. like my wife and I sometimes had, where she's just bent on getting angry at me about something, and I'm just sitting there on television watching a
game
show.
But in this case, were you the wife?
As in most cases with you, Sarah, I was in fact the wife, yes. So I came in, and I was being all pissy about something this morning. Everything at that time has passed, but everybody was running a little bit late. And so today, of all days, Sarah, when she came to work today, you would not check your... Now, have you gone to any of your gossip websites?
No, I haven't. I was just about ready to, and you guys came in grumbling about Paris Hilton. I'm like, oh, I haven't looked at anything yet today.
Well, because I came in, and we were talking about whatever we were talking about, and I said, so, hey, how about that kooky Paris Hilton? And you said what? And I couldn't believe, because you are very much a slave to routine and ritual the same way I am. You come in, you microwave whatever it is you're eating for breakfast, or your corn dog or whatever it is, and you got like your cup of coffee and your breakfast, and you're sitting down, you check your email, and then you go through all your gossip websites. And so today, of all days, for you to not have seen what was going on in the world of gossip, and Scotty and I happened to be standing here, and we were both just agog that you hadn't read it. And so first we forbade Sarah from even going. We're like, well, don't log on, don't check your email, don't go to any websites, don't answer any text messages, because we don't want you to find out. Well, we'll reveal it on the air. If you haven't heard about Paris Hilton, we'll just tell you on the air so we can get your reaction live. Now, between then and now, I know that you checked an email and somebody had put it in the subject line.
Yeah,
so you did find out.
All they wrote is Paris is out.
All right. Let's see. How about this? This email says, Rick, what the hell is matter with what the hell is the matter with this goddamn country? Throw away the key. She now gets to sit on her ass at home watching television.
Is she in house arrest
now? She is. Yeah. See, that's the thing, is so you know that she's out, but you don't know any of the details yet. How about this? I was having a fine morning. This is a totally separate email. I was having a fine morning, Rick, until I spotted a news item indicating that Paris Hilton has been reassigned to home detention. At this point, I believe that Paris Hilton deserves to be in your book if she isn't already.
That's a good idea.
Party with pitchforks and torches at Paris's house this afternoon. Let's see. What else do we have? I mean, it's just an endless... It's an endless number of emails about Paris Hilton today. So... we will get to all of that here in just a second. We will talk about Paris Hilton. Are we talking to Rachel McGrath about that? Did we hear back? Do we know?
Yes, we are talking to Rachel McGrath.
What time?
Actually, any minute.
Oh, really? Like 11:15?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll talk about that here in a few. So we'll talk about Paris Hilton, because that is the big story today. And we do pander relentlessly to the lowest common denominator.
So what happened?
Okay. Well, we'll throw it to Tim here in just a second. We're going to do everything at a little bit of an accelerated pace today. We're going to sort of... what's the opposite of telescoping? We're not going to telescope it. We're going to reduce... wasting time. I don't know what we're doing. We're gonna speed up the pace at which we do this whole opening segment, because Rachel McGrath from CNN Los Angeles is going to join us here in a few. It's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. Of course, the aforementioned Ms. McGrath. We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Dick Iuliano. Bob Costantini is going to join us from the Hill today. Let's see. We'll do the top five later on. We'll spin the Rick Emerson topic wheel. We'll talk about a guy who drowned in 15 feet of human waste. And later on, we'll have the AM 970 noon news hour. That's all on the way as well. I have, and plus just a whole bunch of other random assorted crap that we may or may not get to. Without further ado, though, let's see what Tim Riley is working on in the AM 970 newsroom for your edification.
Well, I don't know where to begin today. I will tell you...
busy day.
...that Paris Hilton is released from jail in an obvious miscarriage of justice. Maybe Phil Spector will ask to have his sentence be served at Paris Hilton's house, should he be found guilty. Newly released documents by the Archdiocese of Portland show they knew about misbehaving priests, little activities in the rectory, but kept quiet about their unsavory activities. Wandering unsupervised pit bulls are angering some Alor residents, and more ships come in this afternoon, causing more bridge disruption.
Fantastic. All right. So before I do the whole, hey, how did everybody spend their last night segment, we should talk about Paris Hilton and get this part of the discussion out of the way before Rachel McGrath joins us and so forth. All right. So, Sarah Dillon.
Yes.
So, let me ask you this. Well, let me put it this way. One of the three adjectives that come to mind that describe Paris Hilton to you.
Because
of all of us here, you're the one most plugged into the gossip world. So if I were to ask you right now, without thinking about the first three adjectives that you can say on the air that come to mind that describe Paris Hilton.
Stupid. Lazy.
Yes.
What am I trying to get at? Am I trying to get at why she was released?
No, I'm just asking you, by way of a preamble, the first three adjectives that come to mind. So stupid, lazy.
And bitchy.
Okay, well, there you go. See, I would add spoiled to that.
Oh, list. Spoiled, of course.
Spoiled is one. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer. But so now, with that in mind, what do you suppose is the reason that Paris Hilton is no longer in jail, according to TMZ? Now, this is a shifting story. These events are changing by the minute, so we may get a definitive answer later on.
Does she have panic attacks?
Well, that's possible. That's not the stated reason. It is entirely possible.
God, I don't know. I can't even...
What is the most... I don't even know how to lead up to this, and I don't just... I feel it's wrong to just yank the shroud off and reveal the whole thing without doing some sort of build, but I can't even... I don't even know how to hint at the reason that, again, according to TMZ, and it may change their cover story as the day goes along, but according to TMZ... I should just say it. According to TMZ this morning, and I've seen this now reported, CNN.com for what it's worth, also reported this today, that the reason Paris Hilton was sent home from jail is because, as Mr. Hand becomes Mr. Fist, because she was refusing to eat the food they gave her. That's according to CNN.com. Now, maybe that's true, maybe it ain't.
What?
But according to CNN.com, Paris Hilton was refusing to eat the jail food that they served her. And so they had no choice but to just send her home to her house.
That's how you get out of jail?
Apparently so. Yes, apparently so. This probably is Rachel McGrath calling it, so we'll get to her in just
what?
A second. Hold on, let me find the email. Chris Sneathan sent me this. Chris Sneathan, our good friend who writes for OregonLive.com, he does a great blog, by the way, called Coove Operator. His email says, Rick, this is exactly what's wrong with this effing planet. People effing hold their breath until they get what they want, and the rest of us just roll over and take it. The president, effing Paris Hilton, effing Lindsay Lohan, whatever. This shouldn't piss me off, but it does. All right, now, we've got right here, let's see, where does it say?
She was refusing to eat?
I'm trying to find the story here. I'm seeing if they've,
All right, here we go.
This is from, feel free to look it up now that we've sort of revealed this, but this is from Steve Whitmore, who is a sheriff's department spokesman. Listen to this. He said privacy rules prohibited him from giving details about the, quote, medical issues that resulted in Paris Hilton's discharge from jail. But celebrity website TMZ.com quoted sources saying Hilton was refusing to eat the jail food that had been served to her. That's from CNN.com.
She was in peril of having a nervous breakdown.
Who cares? Seriously. I think I speak for the entire planet Earth, and I'm sorry that Rachel McGrath...
I don't think anyone's happy to be in jail.
No, I think that's the whole point of being in goddamn jail. I apologize that Rachel McGrath from CNN is having to hear me work blue and use such foul language and engage in such disproportionate anger as she prepares to come on the program. But seriously, regarding Paris Hilton, F her. Who cares? Have a nervous breakdown.
I cannot believe... So the sheriff decided to approve her to leave? I'm saying, the thing I told Sarah this morning is... I'm not even going to say, but I almost did it again.
Who did she have to favor with her feminine wiles? Anyway, my opening words to Sarah this morning, though, were that when you find out why Paris Hilton apparently got out of jail, you're just going to want to break things and smash stuff up. So there you go. All right. Well, we'll do more here in a second. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. No, she will not. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent Rachel McGrath joining us now from Los Angeles. Hello, Rachel. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. Thank you.
Let me ask you this. In your assessment as a person of... you are from Europe. So let me ask you this, as they say in America. Is this something that just confirms everybody's darkest thoughts and suspicions about America? A, the fact that we're still talking about this, and B, the fact that Paris Hilton is a celebrity, and C, the fact that she's apparently out of jail because she won't eat her food?
In a word, yes.
Bam! Fantastic. All right. Well, what is the official line coming out of the L.A. County jail system about this?
Well, a spokesperson for the County Sheriff's Department said this morning that Paris had been let go been sent home packing because there've been a series of meetings between law enforcement officials and medical personnel, including, I think, medical personnel from the jail and Paris's own medical personnel. And all together they concluded that there were some health concerns and that some medical reasons played a part in the decision to let her serve out her sentence
now,
in her mansion.
Now, when they say things like there were health concerns and medical reasons, that is the sort of overly broad, vague language. That's like if somebody were to ask me what I do for a living and I were to say talking things and speech-related activities. I mean, it just means nothing, right?
Yeah, and what's so perfect about it is because it's medical, nobody can give any details. So we don't even know what it is that's wrong with her. They won't even give us any hints because it's all protected by privacy laws.
Oh, that's right.
So it just gets everybody off the hook, really. And I don't know if you saw the press conference this morning, but, I mean, a lot of the reporters were really just as incredulous as the rest of us. And, you know, we're saying, well, hang on a minute, but don't you feel that maybe you were manipulated in some way? That, you know, that maybe she sort of just played the game. She cried for two nights and wouldn't eat her jail hot dogs, and suddenly you're sending her home because you feel sorry for her, and her, you know, she's on the verge of a nervous breakdown. And what's interesting is the sheriff's department spokesperson didn't exactly deny that. So there we go.
I mean, it just, well, first of all, doesn't it seem like there's probably a vast amount of people who are in jail, whether in Los Angeles or anywhere, who spend their first few nights not eating and crying a whole lot? I mean, isn't that? It seems like that's probably part of being the new fish, as they say. That you sit there for a few days wondering exactly what wrong turns you've taken in your life that have led you to a tiny metal cell.
Yeah, but I guess if you're Paris Hilton, a celebrity and famous and hugely wealthy, who knows? I guess it has more meaning somehow. And of course, there's a suspicion that I don't know. I mean, let's just face it. If it was you or I behind bars, they'd let us cry and they'd let us starve. So what else can I say?
They'd let us cry if we didn't eat. They'd stick us in the hospital and they'd jam tubes in our nose. And the guards would come by to give us a good beating in the kidneys every now and again, just for good measure.
Absolutely.
Good God. Let me ask you this: is there these are the sort of things that I wonder about, and I don't have the sort of continental knowledge to be able to speak fluently on them. Who is the British equivalent of Paris Hilton, would you say? Or is there one?
Oh, yes. Posh Spice, Victoria Beckham.
Oh, no, that's okay. That makes sense. No, that makes sense.
Well, I know she's kind of over here now. I mean, she's inflicting herself on you now. But, but yeah, for years it was Posh. Posh and Bex can do no wrong.
Fantastic. All right, well, I suppose, I mean, there's probably not going to be, as you said, because they sort of bring down the cloak of medical reasons, which sort of shrouds the whole thing in a permanent mystery. So there's probably not going to be a whole lot of additional news about this, right?
Well, you say that. I mean, one, it's going to be interesting to see if actually Paris Hilton herself releases some kind of statement. I suspect she probably won't. Maybe she's not allowed to. What's also interesting is the judge who was in charge of the case and passed sentence was very adamant all along that Paris Hilton would not get to serve her time with an electronic bracelet attached to her ankle, that she wouldn't do home confinement, she would actually do her time properly. He was advised of the decision to release her, but who knows what he thinks. Maybe he might speak out. And of course, other people are speaking out. I think the Reverend Al Sharpton has already come out saying this just shows that there's a law for the rich and one for the poor, and I think we might see some other reaction along that line in the days to come. Whether it merits all the media attention, I don't know. That's up for you to decide.
Here's a really dumb question, and this will reveal exactly how little I know about my own country's judicial system. But I mean, it seems really weird to me that just some guy who works at the jail can effectively overrule or reverse something that a judge has ruled must be enforced.
I mean, I think the whole point was that even if there was something medically or psychologically wrong with Paris, the jail has medical facilities. They can deal with that. There's fully trained medical personnel there. The whole point is she could have been treated as other inmates are treated when they are sick or whatever. And so what's very interesting is that the judge says one thing, and then the county officials get together and decide another thing. And I think it would be very, very interesting to know what the judge feels about this. And I mean, what does it say about the system? The jail sentence the judge imposes means nothing at the end of the day. It's a very interesting question.
And so she's got this LoJack on her, this electronic bracelet. What happens? Here's a dumb question: if she leaves the house,
What could she do at this point that would result in her being stuck back in jail, or is that just completely off the table, regardless of how she behaves right now?
Well, no, I mean, if she sort of manages to saw off the ankle bracelet and leave it at home while she goes clubbing, that would be reason to put her back in jail. She's got, I think, about 3,000 to 4,000 square feet of range for the bracelet before it sets off an alarm. Now, I imagine her Hollywood Hills mansion is bigger than that, so maybe she's just confined to the master suite and the TV room and bathroom and whatever, and the kitchen. Maybe she can't actually go down to the swimming pool because that's too far. If she's out of range for 30 minutes or more, I think that's when they come looking for her.
I think they should rig it so if she gets out of range for more than 15 minutes, it just explodes.
But I want to know, she's got some sort of custom jeweler up at the house putting diamonds on there already.
Yeah,
so it looks like a nice accessory.
She'll be like Kimora Lee. She'll have a diamond-studded LoJack, like a diamond-studded BlackBerry. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, Rachel McGrath in Los Angeles. Thank you so much, Rachel.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. CNN correspondent Rachel McGrath. She kind of liked me this time.
That went very well.
She's coming around. All right, you know what it is? It's because I started by admitting that she's smarter than I am because she's British. That's exactly why she treated me nicely. It's because I admitted my American idiocy to her. Goddamn Paris Hilton. And look, I'm not advocating this. As Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance would say, kids, don't say it with violence. Violence is wrong. We do not advocate, condone, promote, endorse, or encourage that in most cases on this program. I'm just saying, as a matter of journalistic and punditry observation here, that's not even a real sentence. Anyway, I'm just saying, my observation, I really am surprised that someone hasn't decided to give Paris Hilton just a good savage beating right about now.
Well, who knows? Everyone knows where she is now. Somebody could break into her house.
You know what? She can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You should stay away, of course. You should stay with it. Go, just write an angry blog posting about it instead. I really am amazed, though. Just like I was talking to Jim Roop and I said, I'm amazed that somebody hasn't just taken a shot at O.J. Simpson. I mean, that really astounds me. And we're not going to start listing people who really, by all laws of probability, ought to have been beaten by somebody by now. But I'm just saying, just like it amazes me that nobody has decided that, you know, O.J. needs to be dealt with, it astounds me that there isn't somebody, I mean, in a nation of 295 million people, I can't believe that there isn't somebody unbalanced enough out there who's just decided that Paris needs a good, needs a bunch of fives, as they say in Britain. All right, well, whatever. So we'll be talking more about that. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, how many days do you give Paris before she violates her house arrest and is caught out of the town? I'd say less than a week. I'll be amazed if she doesn't F up somehow in the next 30 days. And, of course, then the question is going to be, what do they do to her then? Are they going to confine her to the guest house? Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hey, Rick, I just have a thing for Paris Hilton. Like, I look at her and I realize she's got duck lips, she's got the goo-goo eyes, she's got the mud flaps in the back, which is unforgivable when you're a skinny chick. It's like, skinny chicks can be hot, but not if you got flabby skin hanging off of you. How many millions of dollars does it take to make her look that relatively attractive?
Yeah.
I mean, if you spray off the makeup, it's just, I saw, like, the first season of Simple Life, I just caught a minute or two, and I was like, she's supposed to be attractive? She's got a hang dog look, this droopy kind of goofy nose, she's knock-kneed, and now, as if we didn't already know it, she's got to be, like, the most coddled, pampered, just soft-boned heiress. I mean, what does that mean? You were born to rich parents who themselves didn't do anything but were born to Conrad Hilton. And so, it's like, what redeeming value does she have at this point? Short of actually declaring class warfare, can we just actually all agree Paris Hilton has no talent whatsoever? She's marginally attractive if you pump millions of dollars worth of cosmetics into her. And everybody, I'm appealing to everybody who thought, oh, she's kind of hot, or I kind of like her style. What does she really bring to the table? Now you know she can't accomplish absolutely anything on her own. It's just the ultimate revenge, sort of just like storming her house would be, which is not even discuss her anymore.
Well, that's the thing, and it's like somebody once said about Ricky Martin. Ricky, you know, Ricky Martin has this, if you look away, If you look away for 15 minutes, that's the, you know, he's sort of, it wilts and vanishes. And that's the thing with Paris Hilton. And you're totally right. You know what she looks like? She looks like a reasonably attractive wax statue that was left out in the sun for long enough that everything sort of shifted and just sort of started to sag until it was unattractive.
There's nothing real about her. Nothing. It's just, I'm not even talking about, like, plastic surgery. Maybe she hasn't even had very much at all. But she's just such a phony individual. I don't know, Rick. Thanks for letting me spew that. I appreciate it. But, man, I just got to go and rinse this bile out of my mouth. You guys are great.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. That's what this program is all about right there.
This would be a great day to invade Iran.
And we're out. Back after this with CNN radio correspondent Bob Constantini later on the AM 970. All right, bye. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. That is our phone number today. 503-733-2970. You can also email us if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Hey, Scotty J., would you please join us in the studio for a moment? We'll talk to Bob Costantini from CNN here in just a second. Rick, this email says, and we'll get some of these calls. Later on, we get the new news hour. Rick, if the law will not punish Paris, the people should. A large group of people should make themselves look like the Blue Man Group, but instead bright orange, complete with face paint and jumpsuits. The large group of orange men would then alternate people and follow her around at all times, 24 hours a day. Imagine living your life while 30 bright orange people followed your every move. She would snap like a twig. She already looks brittle. The unspecified medical business notwithstanding, the thing about that is, as Rachel McGrath noticed, that means that nobody can ever talk about it. Nobody can find out what it is. The press can't pry into it. Anyway, so, and I'm looking at this story right here. The really frustrating thing about this is how, right here, Michael T. Sauer, who is the Superior Court judge, he actually says in his, whatever, when he imposed the sentence, quote, she will not be allowed work release, furloughs, or use of an alternative jail or electronic monitoring in lieu of jail. So, it's good to see that has the full force and authority of law. Hi, Scotty J., how are you today?
Good morning. Super.
You don't sound very perky today.
I am.
Someone looks like he's playing through the pain.
Yes. I always play through the pain.
All right. Two things. A, now remember that phone problem we were having yesterday where if people would call in, it was just a long, beeping, screechy noise and nobody could seem to get through?
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Whose fault do you suppose that ended up being shown to be?
Is it my fault?
Yes.
Okay,
yes, it was.
Please tell me how and why.
Okay, now here's the thing. And just we were listening yesterday. We had a series of technical issues anyway because the transmitter was up, the transmitter was down. We were off the air for a couple minutes because they were doing some maintenance work. And then for the last full hour of the program, the phones wouldn't operate because if people called in, the phones would ring. In other words, if you picked up a phone yesterday and dialed us, the phone would ring. But then when you answered it here, there was just a shrill beeping sound on both ends. That was the problem with Ed McCarthy trying to get a hold of you yesterday. Here's what kind of poor engineers, they tore apart the entire phone system. They were calling Quest. They were in here pulling the phone cards out. They were rebooting the mainframe or whatever that routes all the phone calls. Here's what happened. In your studio, on your actual phone where you pick up and you dial, there was apparently soda or something on the keypad, and the number 9 was just stuck down.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't be my fault.
No, of course not. There's lots of people who use that phone every day.
No, that phone
Scotty,
is...
you know that you're the only one that uses
You're the only
phone.
One who uses that phone.
You know how old that phone was? And it's gone, by the way. It's been changed.
Yes,
now.
I know.
It's broken.
Because it was broken.
I've had the 9 stick on me a million times, and I had to deal with it, and now it looks like I did it.
Yes, it does. All right, we're going to take a few of these Paris Hilton calls. Did you want to say something about Paris Hilton? You've been typing all these inane comments on the screen. So just get it out. Go ahead.
Well, I think basically that this is not about this hunger thing. They don't let Nelson Mandela out of prison because he's on a hunger strike. They don't let Martha Stewart out because of this and that.
Yes, I know.
I think it's an overcrowding issue.
Well, it's,
what?
If it's an overcrowding issue, they should have just put her with the general population or not put her in a private cell.
They
should just treat her like everybody else. Why can't they do that?
Because people would, you know, beat her up, and they are responsible for her to be alive when she comes out.
Why are they more responsible for Paris Hilton than for other people? You don't think other people get beaten up in jail?
I do. But
why are they more responsible for Paris Hilton than they are for other people?
It's not necessarily Paris Hilton. It's anybody of fame. Nelson Mandela, I mean, was he, you know, accessible to the general crowd? I doubt it.
Well, okay, first of all, we're not talking about...
Martha Stewart. Could you get to her?
That's a different context.
How many people wanted to beat her
Martha
up?
Stewart wasn't in a county jail, though. Martha Stewart was actually in a prison. I mean, there's a difference. We're talking of, I guess, my deal... And Martha Stewart was, by the way, was in for more than 23 days or whatever. It seems like they're responsible for everybody equally. And if we get, I don't know why they got to protect Paris Hilton. I don't know why Paris Hilton getting a black eye is any worse than anybody else getting a black eye.
Well, first of all... This whole county thing, when you hear county, you can pretty much bank on the fact that someone's going to get out early because it's way overcrowded. It's like that throughout the state of Oregon. And any time that, you know, someone's in there for, a lesser offense, they're going to let those people go first. And people that have done, you know, maimings and
yeah, but
car
thefts. Yeah, but a maiming probably isn't in the L.A. County Jail, though. The L.A. County Jail is a whole bunch of people who clearly, not like they're axe murderers, or they'd actually be in a prison system, so they'd be at the supermax.
That's just it. I think the difference between a prison system and a county jail is the, you know, really bad convicts go to prison, and the county jail is kind of a holding tank for, you know, people of
lesser... I would say this. I would think that as a man who is to the right of the political spectrum, I would think that you would be horrified by this. I would think that you would be angrier than any of us here because you're like Mr. Law and Order Republican guy.
Exactly. And I am angry. I don't think it's fair that she get let go, but...
Are you willing to make allowances because you still think that she's hot?
Do you think she's hot?
Of course he does. You still think she's hot?
Yeah.
God, I don't know what is wrong with you. I really don't. Well, let's get a couple of these. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I thought this would... make you a little bit more mad. You know, when you're on work release or house arrest, normally they allow you to work, within confined hours. This depends on what you work out with your parole officer or whatever. And I know that, doesn't Paris Hilton, isn't her work, like, doesn't she get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to parties and stuff like that?
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
So, she could feasibly say her job is to go to a party. She's getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to attend.
Work release.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the whole thing. Is like she's not allowed to leave her house, though. I think she's got one of these, like the ankle bracelet or whatever. Like, I don't think she can go.
But even if you got an ankle bracelet, you can still have hours. See, like if I was on house arrest and I have my job, I could get hours where I could actually go to work, but I only have a half hour to go to work and I have to be at my work and then a half hour to get home.
Oh, I see. So the ankle bracelet is just to track you, and then it's when you are not, when you have a previous obligation.
Yeah, so, like, if I worked out with my parole officer or whoever does it and say, okay, between the hours of 3 and 5, I got to be here for work, he goes, okay, and then he tracks that I'm there.
So you
it's
think
just
the,
a GPS thing.
You think that the answer is that she's going to go to a bunch of social events and then claim that that she's going to be raising money for children or for charity or for whatever.
Well, that's how she gets paid. Doesn't she get paid like $200,000 to go to Spago for some Victoria's Secret party so she's there?
Yeah, I don't even really know that. I don't even really know if Paris makes money from things. I mean, apart from having, from doing endorsements, I really am so unclear about the structure of that family and about what she does or what she does not do. It really, the whole thing is just a mystery to me.
We need to interview her in person.
All right, Ray, but we're gonna end all of our Paris Hilton calls today with this question. Sir, would you do her?
No.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
God bless you. All right.
He's lying.
Dude, I wouldn't do her. As the guy says in Full Metal Jacket, I wouldn't do her with yours. All right? There's just no way. Look, don't get me wrong. I mean, like a lot of guys, time to time, every guy has low standards.
That is not a low standard.
Dude,
low standards
are... There is nothing... Give me Paris Hilton's most attractive physical feature. Go.
Her face is kind of good looking. Her blonde hair, her body is
kind of
skinny.
Good looking. Okay, let's take it from there. Her face is kind of good looking.
She's not supermodel material, but she's not ugly by any means.
So you don't find her hot. You're saying like, if worst came to worst, you would have sex with her.
I don't even think it's that bad.
Where do you rank her on the classic 1 to 10 scale?
I'd put her at like an 8.
Oh, God damn. You are so full of it. You are so full of crap.
Okay, 7.
You are just trying to see. You're
really?
Just, you don't even believe that. You don't
7 or 8. Yeah.
You don't even believe it. You're just trying to instigate. There is no way. Let me ask you this. Who's a 10? If Paris Hilton's an 8, who's a 10?
Beyonce.
All right. Well, fair enough. Okay, I could see that. I don't know that I'd rank her a 10. I get the Beyonce's a good 8 or a 9 in my book. Who's a 5? Mm. Who's average? Who is a woman of average attractiveness that we would know?
A woman of average attractiveness would be
somebody, because 5 is not bad. If 0 is ugly and 10 is perfect, who's a 5?
I'd say
because 5 is a lot harder
to come up
with.
A Ricky Lake type would be. No,
Ricky
not,
Lake.
Not Ricky Lake. But, yeah, no, let's...
I can't wait to do Ricky Lake.
Who's that other gal that kind of looks like her recently, and she's a cook, and she's on
Rachel Ray?
Yeah.
Rachel Ray is so much more attractive than Paris Hilton. Are you kidding me?
I don't know about that.
I'm not saying Rachel Ray's like the hottest woman on the planet, but I will say that they don't have any visible, like, big glaring flaws that I can point to.
What are the big glaring flaws? That's what I don't see.
Paris Hilton has an extra buttock, for one thing. And Sarah will back me up on this. Paris Hilton has extra butt flaps. She does. It's like she's carrying spare butts with her. It's like in case... You know what Paris Hilton looks like? She looks like she had the big bubble ass, and then it deflated. And it's just sort of like, it's hanging down there. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
It's like they did liposuction but forgot to stitch things up and tighten everything when they were finished. She does have weird extra butt flaps in the back. There's just no getting around that fact.
I haven't noticed that because a lot of the, you know, when you see her on TV or whatever, they obviously don't show that side.
Oh, no. Like you...
Yeah,
well, I've seen that side. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, everybody. It's Penelope.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
What's
hey.
Up?
You know, I think I have some insight on what Scotty J is really trying to say about his infatuation with Paris.
Okay.
If I may.
Hold on. Okay, first of all.
What are you referring to?
Without repeating that phrase, are you referring to... Hold on. Without repeating that phrase, because again, there are things... Because we live in a society run by puritanical blue noses. No, blue noses. What am I looking for? Blue hairs? What's the nose?
Big brother.
No, there's a nose thing.
Nose hair.
Just stop.
Serious.
Blue hair is the phrase I'm looking for. Whatever. Are you referring to the, are you referring to her most womanly of areas?
No, I'm not actually.
Okay, because that's what that sounded like.
Yeah.
I know, and I apologize.
Please,
I realize that as it...
Please explain what it is you're referring to then.
Okay.
Is this a physical attribute?
Correct. What you've got are two different kinds of women. You have women who are extra thick and crispy, let's say. And then
crispy.
You've got women who are... on the tighter end, and when I say tighter, I mean physique-wise. You've got long and lanky and tight as an athlete.
She does not have an athletic figure.
No,
I know what an athletic figure looks like.
No, she doesn't have an athletic figure, but she's tall, she's lanky, she's tight, she's not droopy, she doesn't sag, she doesn't have... So I'm just speculating that might be where... Scotty J is coming from that, and she's like, what, 12, 13 years old, so...
Yeah, seriously. I think that's where Scotty J is, that's where the attraction really is. Well, let me ask you this. Who do you... Okay, you were talking about the two different women, the thick women and the tight women, and when did we start having all of these strange phrases to describe the physique? Give me an example of a woman that you... And this is your phrase. A woman you find thick and crispy.
Thick and crispy. Oh my gosh, what's her name? On The View,
Barbara Rosie. Walters.
No, well, yeah, she...
I think Rosie O'Donnell goes beyond being thick and crispy somehow.
No,
I think she's in the full slab.
I agree, but if you were to, as just in my head, that's...
If you were to undress Rosie O'Donnell and caress her lovingly?
If
you were to make sweet, tender love to Rosie O'Donnell on a bed of flower petals...
There's my idea of a one... Right there.
That's a negative one, Scotty J. That's a I'd rather die.
All right. Thank you, Penelope.
All right, bye-bye.
Well,
she sounded nice.
She was nice. I'm so confused about the whole
thing. We're not hip with the kids anymore, Rick.
Rick.
I don't think Penelope is the kid.
If I might say this, the word that's hot and that's tight means the same thing. That, like, it's cool in the...
Are you
in
interpreting
the kids world?
Let me ask you this: Are you interpreting
in the kids world?
Are you interpreting now youth/black speak for us? Are you an urban translator now on the program?
I guess this is what the teens say.
Because that's a hip hop term, right? When they say, when they refer to somebody as being tight.
I guess
that is hip hop lingo, is it not?
I'm not even getting involved in this conversation.
Now listen. Now I am at least admitting up front that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yes, tight is cool.
I don't think that's a generational thing even. I think it's a generational slash cultural thing though. Because again, I have drifted away from hip hop over the years as a listener, and so there's a lot of lingo like. Just like there is in the rock world, there's a lot of lingo that comes out of any form of art or music that is very specific to that. And as I listen less and less to hip-hop, I know less and less of the, or, you know, fewer and fewer of the terms. So please to explain now, Scotty, hot and tight are the same thing?
Yeah, well,
please to be using tight in a sentence. You know, use it in context so I know what it means.
It's exactly like Paris is always saying, like, when she goes, that's hot. She
okay,
means that car is...
Please
like,
to be using...
talking about a car, for instance. If she goes, that car is hot.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Just you, Ed, not as Paris, but as you, Scotty J. Please to be using tight in a sentence so I can ascribe some context to it.
Well, I use tight in a different fashion. In other words, like, you know, tightening up the bolts on...
Yeah, I understand that definition. I'm talking about the other definition.
The other definition of tight...
Use it in a sentence, please.
Okay, let me think of one. Might take an hour. That...
I swear to God, if you just say that's tight, I will hit you. I will punch you in the face.
Is really tight.
Use tight the way that, you know, the kids... And the hip-hoppers use it in a sentence, so I know.
Well, see, I think of, like, cars and boats or whatever, like that.
None of these
things, okay, here you go, here you go.
None of these things are using it in a sentence. Has it really taken you 2 minutes to figure out how to use a word in a sentence?
That water skier is tight. I mean, in other words, he's, like, really good. He's perfect at what he's doing water skiing-wise.
I don't understand how you came up with that.
I don't use the word tight. That's tight. I mean, that's all they say. That's hot. That's tight. That's hot.
That's all who say, Scotty.
The kids these days. Now, when I was a child, we were growing up in the Happy Days era on TV, and the Fonz always said, the Fonz always said, hey, that's cool. All right? And that's what we said, cool. So I think the kids are trying to be creative now and change the cool word to hot and tight. Now, if they use both words in the same sentence, that ought to be really interesting.
I could be anywhere right now. I could be at home. I could be in my office.
Well, you called me in here to talk about hot and tight. I don't get it.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Please, for the love of God, be somebody smarter. Hello.
Well, I can't guarantee that, but I'll do my best.
Yes.
All right. I got something that'll kind of make you a little bit upset, I suppose. You're talking about overcrowding in jails in Oregon.
Yeah.
I was just at a job site. I do construction at a jail. You know where everyone seems to get killed at that park? It was like Kelly Point Park or something like that, like west on Columbia Boulevard over in that ugly area.
Right.
Well, there's like a... Apparently, like, I was over there doing a little touch-up work. There's like a brand new jail over there. I guess it's been done for a couple of years. They just don't have enough money to staff it.
Man, see,
it starts with a W, Waco, or... No, it's not Waco, but it's... I think it starts with a W, if I'm...
It's something, yeah.
And it's been sitting there for 2 years for Multnomah County.
Exactly.
And it's a beautiful, brand-new prison, and they have no money to run it. So it's just sitting there.
Well, you know, the problem is we're just incarcerating all the... I don't want to get into the whole thing, but we're just incarcerating all the wrong kinds of people.
Right. I mean, Paris doesn't deserve to go to jail.
Shut your hole. If we were...
Scotty, you know she does.
And you know, for no other reason than she was drunk driving, she deserves to go to jail. And I know that that's not what they nailed her for.
Right, which is really weird.
But you know, but that's the whole thing. But that's the whole point. The reason she didn't go to jail for the DUI in the first place is because of the overcrowding. So if for no other reason, she should have gone to jail for the DUI. If the, you know, I mean, and nobody will come out and say this, that works in the justice system. But of course, if they weren't incarcerating people for minor drug offenses, this wouldn't be a problem.
Now, isn't this her first one? Shouldn't she have to go to classes and stuff so they'll drop
it? No, she's had many driving
violations. It's all those victimless crimes that people are being put in prison for. It's just ridiculous.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
God forbid someone sits at home and smokes a little weed and watches TV. Holy hell.
Well, there's that guy. This is a whole separate issue, but there's a guy, I think he's in Texas. I was reading another article about it this morning. He's kind of a cause celebre. He's a guy who's serving a 10-year prison sentence He was he was in high school. He was like 17, and he engaged in what I will refer to as a sexual act with a girl who I think was 16 at the time. And now he's serving like 10 years, you know, because it's statutory rape and so forth, and it's blah 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 blah.
Now,
so, you know, it's a whole bunch of it. It's
yeah.
Insanity.
Now that to me is insane because there are people that are 10 times worse, and he was like a year within that age. But
all right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
To help Scotty out, you could use something like the rims on that Beamer are tight.
See, that guy came up with it. Used that in a sentence in like 5 seconds.
He had an hour to think about it.
Okay, and okay. If you need something else to criticize Paris Hilton about,
uh-huh.
I read somewhere that when they take pictures of her, they're not allowed to keep her feet in the picture because she has like giant tennis feet.
No, she's got
huge.
She has swamp thing feet.
She has her feet are supposed to be like enormous. Plus, her toes are long enough that they almost look like fingers, but not quite.
Her toe. Well, here's the thing. I've seen Paris Hilton's feet in a couple of photos, like catwalk photos. Her feet are huge. They're really skinny. They're really long, massive toes. And then I don't know if they're bones or veins or a combination of both. But she's got. It's like when you would do that thing in school where you would hold a maple leaf up to the light so you could see the vein structure. Her feet look like that. I mean, it's
yeah,
just like big.
Hold it up to the light.
That's yeah, exactly. Oh. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. All right, I don't even know where we were going with this. Rick, this email says, Rachel Ray is only attractive if you spit on her. Hot. The only thing that makes Paris look good is her endless supply of money. Other than that, she looks like a limp dish rag. She is dirty and wrung out, says Lisa. No, I agree with you there. Rachel Ray has got that, I don't know, Rachel Ray's got that girl next door kind of a thing, though. She's kind of hot in that way.
I think that she is, has a different ethnic background, too. Like, I don't know if she's from, you know, Spain, Mexico, in her bloodline or whatever, right?
Who?
Rachel Ray.
Different ethnic background than who?
Than Whitey. Joe Whiteman, or the guy that calls in, whatever his name is. Am I correct? Is she? Does she have a bloodline from? I mean, is she Caucasian?
Are you?
That's what I'm asking.
I'm pretty sure. She's
is it really a conversation
sure
we're
not.
Having? And so do you
Rachel
hold that?
Ray.
You're holding that against
no, I think,
her.
I think that. Hey,
is
you
that
know.
Why she's lower on the scale?
No, I don't think she's lower on the scale because of that. I mean, I think that actually. Helps,
I'm pretty sure that's actually
that helps
what
make
you...
her look better. Actually, like Tom Likas says.
So the less white. So really, to you, never. I don't even understand
yeah,
what you're
let's
talking about.
Not
now.
Dig Scotty in any deeper.
No. I don't care about that. I just don't even. I don't understand the point you're making. What is the point you're making?
I guess the point I'm making is the fact that
given
she,
your about your preference,
the fact that she has a possible different ethnic background
so you don't
in
even,
her bloodline.
So you
I
don't
guess.
Even know.
I don't even know, but it appears that she is Latin of some sort.
Okay.
I don't know.
She's from Rome.
But it makes her look.
She's Latin.
It brings her. It brings her up to a 5 instead of like a 4.
What if you found out she wasn't? Would you put her back down at a 4?
Probably. No. I don't know.
You're just weird. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi. How long before you guys start playing Eddie Rabbit's Driving My Life Away? hey, I was going to say on that word tight, depending on who said it, like if a guy said it or a girl said it, like if a guy, well, whichever said it, said like, hey, Rick, your pants are tight. Like, if a guy said it, he would be saying, you know, that they are actually tight. If a girl said it, it would be a compliment.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those words that is a very shifting definition based upon the context. I don't feel like I can ever use that. That's a word that I feel like I'm not
really
quite...
We only use it, I think, when referring to, fine driving machines.
Or I believe if you were listening to a musical performance, I believe you could refer to it as tight.
Oh, yeah, if there was no gaps or no errors in the string quartet or such.
Yes, if that Kenny G live performance that's coming up at the Schnitzer, and I'm not kidding, if that goes off without a hitch, it is indeed tight. Kenny G.
Does that come with free root canal?
All right, bye now. Yo, Kenny.
I've never seen you a big group of middle-aged white men discuss the definition of the word tight.
Kenny G is coming to town, by the way.
Put it in perspective, Rick.
His horn blowing was tight.
All right. Why, hello. I don't even know what people are calling about because Scotty's in here. All right, here's what's going on. in a generalized sense, so Paris Hilton's out for like 2 days, so we'll continue to talk about that. We got the AM 970 noon news hour coming up. Later on, we will talk to CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano. We'll also, I think we're going to try to track down our good friend Jim Roop as well, see what he thinks about this, have him weigh in. We have the top five coming up and all that. It's 503-733-2970. More of your phone calls on the way. 503-733-2970. You know, when you talk about something being tight, all I can picture is what's his name, Jason Mewes, in Jay and Silent Bob, his strike back, just going, yo, Affleck, he was the Bond in Phantoms, yo. That's all I can picture. Just going through my head over and over again. All right. Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We continue with more stories of comedy. Next, you stay there. Radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we got CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano. We're trying to track down our good friend Jim Roop. And we have Scotty J's top five. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please put your hands together for the Reverend Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, is Tim Riley.
So who got paid off and for how much? Paris Hilton has been so-called reassigned from jail to her luxurious home. The L.A. County Sheriff's Department spokesman Steve Whitmore claims her, quote, reassignment, unquote, is due to a medical disorder.
She has been fitted with an ankle bracelet, and she has been sent home, and she will be confined to her home for the next 40 days.
Whitmore says Hilton was released early due to an unknown medical disorder.
I can't specifically talk about the medical situation other than to say that that, yes, played a part in this.
But, you know, well, if it's 40 days...
Apparently, she wouldn't swallow the hot dogs, and she was on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
I can't... Sometimes I really can't tell when you're throwing me something and when you're not. When you're allying... And when it's just the way it comes out. I think it's 40 days because the original sentence was 45.
Yeah, 45.
Reduced to 20, and she spent 3 days. Well, that still doesn't make any sense. It should be 42.
42!
Well, whatever. Anyway, F her. That's the recurring theme of today's program. F her.
Steve Whitmore says Paris Hilton is still in custody under the L.A. County Sheriff's Department.
It is not an early release. It is a reassignment. She is still in custody. She has an ankle bracelet, electronic monitoring, and she's confined to her home.
Yeah, so can people visit her? I mean, can she, like, have huge parties every night and have everyone come to her place?
Yeah, I think so. I think she just can't leave. That's the deal. I mean, it's, I don't know, it's the... What is that guy's name? James Whitmore? No, that's an actor.
Steve Whitmore.
Steve Whitmore. Yeah, I want his phone number. That's what I want. I want the phone number of Steve Whitmore.
All right.
Somebody get on that.
Yep, some fellow has it. Steve Whitmore tries to explain away the reason behind Paris's release from jail.
There may be a public opinion outcry, but does that override the decision?
Yes.
The decision must be rooted in what are we doing here? What is the content of our action?
Who is that? Is that the Whitmore guy?
That is the spokesperson for the L.A. County Sheriff's Department.
So he's not the one that actually made the decision, though, then.
No.
He's just the fall guy. So
right.
Let's not get his phone. Let's not bother him.
Right.
So he's not the one who... He's just the guy who... He's the Tony Snow who's been sent out there to mouth
that is correct, yes.
These pointless platitudes.
Yeah. Steve Whitmore said Hilton had the medical staff in her cell constantly.
She was continually... The medical services staff was continually examining this, talking about it. Yes.
They've got a goddamn hospital at the jail.
That's not good enough. They still serve hot dogs.
Yeah, when I read that thing this morning, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but I'm inclined to believe that it is because I got to tell you, I got to calm myself down because I got
3 hours to go.
That's what I'm saying. I got to pace myself. I can't blow all my anger
it's
here.
Crazy right
in the first 90 minutes because if I let all the anger out now, there's just going to be at 2 o'clock. We'll just have to sit and just have to play banjo music or something.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
The other day, when we were talking about Paris going to... I'm clenching my pen so hard. I got to put this down here because I'm going to snap my pen in half. The other day, when we were talking about Paris Hilton going to jail, we were talking about what she was going to be served for food. And it was like bologna sandwiches, hot dogs, whatever. And that was actually one of the... I mean, look, let's all just drop the pretense right now that we weren't glad to see her going to jail. Let's quit. I'm not... This is a program where we can all be brutally honest about things. This is a... We don't... The difference between this show and this station and other shows and stations is you don't have to call... You don't have to call up and make disclaimers about things. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to say... And I'm not going to use the term politically correct, but you don't have to call up and say what everybody thinks you're supposed to say or just mouth a bunch of crap that you don't really believe. We can be honest here. That's what we do. Let's all just admit that we were happy to see her go to jail, and we were hoping it was going to be excruciatingly unpleasant. We were hoping it was going to be the worst 23 days of Paris
50s women's prison movies.
Exactly. Reform school girls. Mm-hmm. Where you're there and where Mamie Van Doren comes in and blackens your eyes in the shower and then steals your boyfriend.
As it should be.
That's what we were all hoping for. And one of the things that actually struck me the most last week was this diet they were going to put her on. This food that she was going to be served. And I was thinking to myself, that's going to be the worst part. Because sitting in her cell, no hair dye, no extensions, no makeup, whatever. I guess that's bad, but she was in a private cell. Nobody was going to see her. She wasn't going to have photos taken of her. I thought she can probably almost live with that because it's not like she looks like a prize when she rolls out of bed in the morning, I would imagine, but you got to figure nobody really sees that. So I thought looking bad physically, she could probably deal with maybe because nobody's really going to see her. The food thing, though, that would have been one of the very worst parts about it for her, in my assessment. And so when I read this thing on CNN this morning where it says, celebrity website TMZ.com quoted sources saying one of the reasons was that Paris was refusing to eat much of the jail food served to her. I mean, that's the point when I just went nuclear this morning and in my office. Everything went red for about 10 seconds. It just makes me so goddamn furious. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, who's more furious? Al Sharpton at the minute. He's not holding back his feelings about this whole thing.
I think it's both. I think if she was a coal miner's daughter, white, she would have been treated differently. And if she was a black multimillionaire, platinum hip-hop star, she'd have been treated differently. And there have been cases of both of them being treated much more harshly than Ms. Hilton has.
And once again, it's in that awkward thing where I'm back in Al Sharpton's camp again. I don't think my mind can take all of this constant snapping back and forth of being in Al Sharpton's camp and being opposed to Al Sharpton.
Al says there are obviously different laws for different people.
I think it sends a message that there are different standards for different people.
You think?
And that undermines the whole idea of a fair, balanced criminal justice system.
I wish he would quit doing this. I wish he would either just be right about things or be an a-hole. It's just causing me whiplash to constantly have to reassess my positions on things vis-a-vis Al Sharpton. Listen to this. Because she was released after midnight today, she gets credit for being in jail the whole day.
That's unfair.
That's why she gets credit for 5 days instead of four, because they let her out at 2 a.m. or whatever it was. So she gets credit for being in jail for the whole day.
Does she still have to eat prison food at home?
No, she doesn't. And apparently, as we were saying, apparently anybody can go visit her. They can go hang out. Is that what... All right, let's... Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, man. I think you're missing the upside of this whole deal. While she's on house arrest, she's going to be subject to urinalysis for drug and alcohol. And she's going to fail one of those. And then she's going to go down for big time.
Oh, is that true? Do you know that that's the case? Did they pee test her?
Well, if you're in custody of the LAPD and you're out on the streets, if you go out for work release, they test you when you come back in to make sure you're not doing anything you shouldn't be doing.
But
you're not supposed to be out there having fun.
Now, here's a dumb question. I didn't know that they could test your urine for alcohol. I guess maybe that's just the...
If it's in your system, like if they test you every day. If it takes a few hours, I would assume, to get the beer out of your system.
Now, do you think if she violates this, that they'll stick her back in for the whole 23 or the whole 40 or whatever?
She'll probably get more time.
We couldn't be that lucky, though. There's just no way. If she's just under house arrest, there's still no supervision of her as such, which means she could be getting somebody else's urine, right?
That'd be hard to do. They're going to have somebody watch her take her test. She's in, what did they say? She's in the custody of the LAPD.
I guess that's true. All right, excellent. Well, we can cross our fingers and hope, my friend.
Oh, man, we should start a pool. How many days it's going to be?
Exactly. Thank you. There you go. That's our good friend Rob from the House of Rick. Excellent. Thank you, sir. Here's the thing about her having to follow these rules and have to take these urine tests and so forth. Now, this whole thing is just exhausting me. It's like Scarlett O'Hara.
It's
over
only
here.
12 minutes afternoon time.
I'm over here with getting the vapors. Here's the thing. It's like she's already out of jail, and we still haven't even gotten a straight answer on whether she had a body cavity search. I was Donna Mike were talking about this yesterday. There has still not been any consistency in the story about whether she had a cavity search or not, because the New York Post claims flat out that she did not. And then there was like the New York Daily News claims that she did. There was still no definitive answer about whether she even had to have that done. So it does sound like the muddying of the story waters and the special treatment might have started right at the very beginning. If she didn't have to have a body cavity search, that tells you, that tips the whole hand right away. If she didn't have to have a body cavity search going in, which as I understand it is something that everybody who goes into the LA County Jail has to have, period, end of story. If she never had that done, then that tells you from the very beginning they were not planning on keeping her. I mean, that tells you that the jig was up from the very beginning, as they say. So.
More reaction from the world of Hollywood. Hulk Hogan checks in.
I'm very surprised that she got out after 3 days, you know, but hopefully she'll step up and show she's a leader, not a follower.
Why is Hulk Hogan weighing in on this?
Why not?
Okay.
He says early release is probably due to some sort of preferential treatment.
I'm sure if it would have been a normal person, you know, they would have probably served the full 50 days or whatever it was originally. I'm sure a good lawyer and a lot of money and pulling a few strings to change things.
Okay.
And while you're here, Hulk, congratulations. The National Father's Day Council has recognized you as Father of the Year.
I kind
of
thought I was just a normal father. You know, I've been criticized for running too tight of a ship, you know. I probably could have loosened up because my kids were such great human beings.
All right, well, whatever. Does Brooke Hogan still do that horrible reality show?
Yes.
All right. He says with a tired affirmation. All right, you let me know when they're making Santa with muscles, too. That's when I'll care about Hulk Hogan again.
Nicole Richie was on Letterman last night. She managed to get a few guffaws from the audience when Letterman asked her about Paris.
Did you talk to her before she went in?
Yeah.
And how was she feeling before she went away?
Just like anyone would feel before they were going to go to jail.
Why are so
Wait,
many...
Well, hold on.
Was there an edit?
Yeah, that's completely fabricated applause. Not fabricated applause, but they have juxtaposed two things that clearly didn't happen at the same time there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you talk to her before she went in?
Yeah.
And how was she feeling before she went away?
Just like anyone would feel before they were going to go to jail.
You're totally cutting to that 50s audience from You Bet Your Life. Mm-hmm. That's totally what that is. That's the MASH audience that they've just cut in there. All right. Well, there you go.
Why are so many young Hollywoodans having legal problems, Nicole?
I can't really speak for anyone else.
Right.
You know, for me, I'm 25 and I'm still growing up and I've made some bad choices just like anyone, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I just have to deal with the consequences.
Right.
I know that it's really dangerous to start doing this because then you turn into some grumbling, griping old person. But I mean, every time I hear an interview like this, it really is impossible to not contrast her with whatever you were doing at the age of 25. You know what I mean? And she just seems so unbelievably, maniacally stupid. I mean, the term relentlessly stupid. Or as Bruce Williams used to say, industrial strength stupid is really what she seems. Nicole, now is Nicole Richie going to jail?
She might be.
Now, why is that? Was she drunk driving? What was she doing? Why is Nicole Richie going to jail?
She was drunk driving, remember, the wrong way down that highway.
Oh, yeah, F her. And the thing is, she'll probably serve the full sentence. She didn't have the drag that Paris Hilton does. She'll probably serve the entire 3-4 weeks, whatever it is.
Let's hear her laugh about that. She discussed some of the antics from the new season of The Simple Life.
Some people came to the camp, and we wanted to teach them about fitness, so I put them on tables outside, and I gave them enemas.
Yeah,
it's hilarious. Let's see, Rick. The new urine test they do does not test for alcohol. They test for an antibody your liver produces for up to 100 days after consumption of alcohol. Okay, so it doesn't test for alcohol as such, but it tests for the byproduct that indicates that you have consumed alcohol. It says they can catch you for days after only one drink. P1 in Portland, old school Mark. So there you go. All right, so I guess they can test her for drugs and alcohol, although it remains to be seen whether they even will. So, all right.
Or if they have the will to do so.
For the love of God.
The judge in the murder trial of Phil Spector told one of the defendant's attorneys that if she refused to testify in the case, she would be sent to jail for contempt of court. Judge Larry Fidler told Sarah Chaplin that she must testify about evidence. Apparently, this evidence was removed by Dr. Henry Lee. It was removed from Spector's home on the morning of actress Lana Clarkson's death.
An attorney is different than no other individual when it comes to following the law. Their obligation is to follow the law. And if she chooses not to testify, and if I order her to testify and she refuses that order, then I will hold her in contempt.
Okay, and Henry Lee is the guy who was the DNA guy, from the doctor from the OJ case. That's why. Now, I was trying to think of his name yesterday. That's who that is.
Henry Lee.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a Miss Universe from Japan, Ryo Mori, who won the title Memorial Day in Mexico City, says she hardly remembers the crowning event. She says she tries to embody the qualities of a modern-day female samurai.
I like to be called samurai because samurai has patience, samurai has a determined. So it's good to have patience in your heart.
I think Scotty might agree with all those things.
Yes. Scotty is also a modern-day samurai. Rick, I never thought I'd say this, but Scotty J's opinions delivered in that Scotty J monotonous nasal drone make me long for the days of Jolie. Please, for the love of sweet Jesus, make Scotty stop. My liver can't take the amount of painkillers I need each day for my ear pain. Thanks so much, Sam. Well, I'm sorry for your agony. We're still getting emails about this tight and hella and hot thing. We'll get to some of those here in a few. All right, should I be taking whoever these calls when they come in with the...
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yo, what is happening?
Hey.
You know, they do have an ankle bracelet that can detect alcohol usage.
An ankle bracelet? Oh, like in your... Does it test your sweat or like your skin?
Yeah, because, you know, it goes in. It's got to come out. And, you know, you smell people that have had a little too much to drink the night before. They
yes,
get that
I,
little...
Yes,
I'm
I have.
I'm not looking your way, Sarah, but you know what I'm talking about.
Okay, no, I want to note that when I said, yes, I have, Sarah looked right at me and smiled.
I had a feeling. But, yeah, there's an athlete, go figure, he got in trouble with alcohol and probably beat some people. But they made him wear an ankle bracelet that actually monitors his alcohol use. He's not supposed to use.
Interesting.
They can tell instantly, like boom, and then they got someone over on him.
Is that why don't they do that at if that's the case? Why don't they do that when they pull you over for suspected DUI? Why don't they just test your skin?
I don't have a clue, but that would be a much easier way than, you know, making a guy look like a jackass walking up and down, you know, for walking a straight line.
Come touching on. Your nose and crap, and then going to then getting your blood.
That's still
out.
You know, I know some hardcore drinkers that they can put back quite a few, and it really doesn't affect their, you know, their equilibrium. They're okay with that.
They drive better.
Well, no, they just can stand in a straight line. Come on. If you practiced it enough.
That field test for sobriety they give you is completely arbitrary. I'm like you, though. I know any number of people who could probably pass that.
I want to see a sober person, even a sober person, stand on one leg for 30 seconds and not wobble just a little bit. Come on.
Really? Do
if
you?
You have to do, try it.
Okay.
Give it a shot. You're not doing it now, are you?
No, we are.
Hold on.
Beat up, Scotty.
End of message.
We'll do it right now.
Sweet.
All right, hold on. Just stay right there, sir. Hi, Scotty J. Scotty J. are in front of PA. All right, so what are the field tests they give you for sobriety, Tim?
I believe it's hop up and down on one leg.
Is it hop or stand, Mike? What is the field test?
Well, I've never been pulled over. So I what I've heard, though, I've seen it. I mean, on cops, they have a person. Yeah, well, cops is if whatever. But they just have a person stand with one leg. You have to stand on one leg for 30 seconds.
I don't really... Whenever I watch Cops, I'm always distracted by the fact that it seems to be in my neighborhood most of the time. So, my friend Jesse was watching Cops the other day, and he said he had these, like, layers of revelation. He had these layers of realization and revelation as he's watching Cops, where he tunes on Cops, he's sitting on the sofa, probably getting high, and he's saying, hey, that looks like Portland. Well, that is Portland.
Like,
hey,
my backyard.
That looks like my neighborhood. It is my neighborhood. Hey, that looks like my street. It is my street. And it turns out that literally they had been filming an episode of Cops like five houses away from wherever it is he lived.
You remember right. Joe Bob with his meth lab? Yeah, it's a good time.
All right, Scotty, please to be standing on one foot. All right. And now...
You said the Gettysburg Address.
okay, now please to extend your arms like Jesus.
Okay. Just a second.
Okay, Scotty, you're standing on one foot, extending his arms like Jesus. Now, starting with your left arm... Touch your finger to the tip of your nose. Okay, now your right arm. Finger to the tip of your nose. Okay. Okay, now you can put your foot down. All right, here's the final test. Now, this is one I know that they at least used to do. I don't know if they still do this.
Didn't I look like I was wobbling a little bit?
Yes, you did. I think it's because you're drunk.
I don't see how you do that on outside on, you know, unlevel ground, in the wind.
This sounds
rain.
Like somebody is preparing a rationalization. It sounds like somebody's had to convince the police of this a time or two. All right, please be reciting the alphabet backward.
I can't do that.
What do you mean? That's, what are you, Hal?
Z-Y.
I know that. Did you just say G-Y?
No, Z-Y.
Okay. I know that they used to do this test by the side of the road. Just give it your best shot. Recite the alphabet backward, please.
Z-Y-X-W V-U. I don't know, God. I mean,
you did better than I could have.
Have you given up already?
I've given up.
Okay, thank you.
I could do it, but you have to, like, pause in between each one and think what comes before this. I don't know.
It's horrible. So yes. Anyway, anyone right. can fail that even if they're not loaded. But yes. The ankle bracelet does not lie, my friend.
All right, thank you, sir.
Take it easy.
All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
A Michigan State Police sergeant and the rest of his department thought it was a joke when he first started getting calls yesterday about a semi pushing a man in a wheelchair down a busy highway in Paw Paw, Michigan. That's P-A-W. Don't ask me why. I don't live there. An unidentified 21-year-old man was taken on a wild ride after his wheelchair became attached to the grill of the semi, which pushed him 4 miles down the road at 50 miles an hour. This horrified woman called 911 begging for help.
There is a westbound truck dragging a man in a wheelchair. He did not see him crossing in front of him when the light changed. He's out in front of the middle school right now.
He's westbound.
He doesn't know he's dragging this man.
Wait, hold on. So he was being pushed or dragged?
Pushed. He's in front of this truck and the handles got stuck in the grill of this.
So how did it... Okay, so... The guy was crossing the road in his wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
A truck comes along, doesn't see him.
Yes, does not see him.
How is it that he didn't just hit the guy and knock him out of the way? He must have been going at a low level of speed.
Apparently so.
And so the handles of the wheelchair
got stuck in the front grill of the truck.
Now, is the guy injured?
No. The young man said it was quite a ride. No, he's not injured.
Oh. So he's being pushed down the road.
He's a big fellow.
60, oh, he is.
He's a Matt Peterson type.
Well,
someone of great girth.
I like how you... Yeah, totally. Yeah, way to pull it out at the last minute. the funny thing is, I was actually stepping in to do the same for you. I was, when you said, very much like Matt Peterson, I was stepping in to say... By which you mean jovial and fun to be around.
And absolutely.
And that's why he took it so well. It's too late, but you went right to the... Of girth. The planet-like. No, what I was going to say is this. His wheelchair is stuck in the front grill of a truck, which is pushing him down the road at like 60 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And you know why that's great? Is because, of course, with so many of these stories, I just picture it in my head as though I'm watching it in a movie. And... From my perspective, it would be like me sitting in the front porch of the house, and then there's just a whole lot of, it's just the guy just sort of speeds by on the front of a truck. Oh, that's genius.
Here's another 911 call.
I didn't pop by. It looks like I'm not in the middle of school. And my car is in a wheelchair. You have to cross the street. And it's somebody stop. And it's so cold. And
you know, thank you for calling on, Star.
She doesn't see the humor of the situation.
That's her impression.
I didn't pop by. It looks like I'm not in middle school. And my car is in a wheelchair. You have to cross the street. And it's somebody stop. And it's so cold.
I'm in Paw Paw, and I'm not terribly bright, and I'm married to a bricklayer. You've got to get me out of here. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, hey.
Hey.
I have a friend that was a cop once.
Yes.
And one of the reasons why they have you do all those crazy tests for DUI.
Yes.
Because half the time when someone's drunk, they'll just say, I couldn't even do that when I'm sober. And that's a
guilt. Oh, bam. I never thought about that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that is genius. I had never... Did you just belch?
No.
Okay. I swear to God, it sounded like you bet I was going to give you points for calling while drunk. that's genius. I never really thought about that. And then and then the cops totally know, even though that's not admissible as evidence of drunkenness probably, the cops then totally know that they have you dead to rights if they make you take a BAC or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's enough that they can arrest you and bring you in and do the real breathalyzer.
Excellent. Good for them. You know, I always like it when people can outsmart idiots. Excellent. Well done. Thank you. Let's get a couple more. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
You know, I was friends with a lot of sheriff's deputies in the little town that I grew up with. And I was told that a lot of those field sobriety checks are either made up or they're at the discretion of the arresting officer. So they can kind of make you do whatever they want and just sort of have fun with you. The other thing is that the repeating the alphabet backwards.
Yeah.
If you're sober, like Scotty is, kind of, you'll just say, I can't do that. And if you're kind of drunk, you'll make a really bad attempt.
Make a terrible botched effort at making it happen.
Right.
Well, that fits in with what the other guy said, that it's really not there to test whether you're drunk as such. It's there to test your general demeanor and to see if you will cop to your drunkenness.
Well, like all things, the cops are smarter than the people they're pulling over, and, you know, the tests are actually multiple layered.
I never really thought of it. No, I am kind of impressed, actually.
So if you're ever pulled over and a cop says, well, let's test you, see how drunk you are, and wash my car, you know, that's what's going on.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, there you go.
Paris Hilton has just released a statement through her attorney, Richard A. Hutton.
Hold on. Now, let me, before you even read this,
mm-hmm.
is this going to make me angry?
It's going to make a lot of people angry.
Okay. Let's go with it.
So let's turn down the anger-o-meter because it's going to go through the roof when you hear this comment. Here we go. Quote, I want to thank the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department and the staff of the Century Regional Detention Center for treating me fairly and professionally. I'm going to serve the remaining 40 days of my sentence. I have learned a great deal from this ordeal and hope that others have learned from my mistakes. Others have learned from my mistakes.
So she'd like to thank them for treating her fairly.
And professionally.
And professionally.
As all inmates are treated.
Is that what we call that now? Oh, for the love of God. I mean, the thing is that like, it's so infuriating that I almost have no response to it. You know what I mean? It's like a thing that vibrates so fast it looks like it's not even moving. I have no way to react to that. It's just so insane. Oh, for the love of sweet Christ. All right, we should break here. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We come back. We got lots of calls to get through. More of Tim Riley. Later on, CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano and the Top 5. Likas 101 coming up today later on. Also, Donna Mike. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. We are inside the AM 970 noon at news hour. We've got the CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano coming up later on. Top 5 and all that. Donna Mike at 7. Before that, Likas at 3. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley once again.
Well, apparently, people can't resist the temptation to run over kids during the parade. Remember yesterday that 81-year-old woman was arrested?
It is tempting.
Well, now another guy accused of crashing through the parade barricades in a parked car and pedestrians yesterday is being charged with alleged marijuana growing. 35-year-old Joshua Cohen drove a Ford Focus through a barricade at the Rose Festival Junior Parade near Northeast 56th Avenue in Sacramento yesterday. Cohen then drove through a staging area where they said he hit a car and kept on driving. Then he bumped into a pedestrian who jumped onto the hood of his vehicle to avoid being hit any further. Cohen found himself stuck behind a large group of junior high students lining up to march in the parade and then began to drive through the crowd slowly. Officers standing on the other side eventually took Cohen into custody on suspicion of failure to perform the duties of a driver.
All right, this is also puzzling to me because I got a bunch of emails about this, but I disregarded them because I thought they were about the first person. I thought they were about the second
person.
So two people in one day or two drive through a parade.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And while inspecting his vehicle prior to towing it, they found a quarter pound of Mary Jane. They later discovered Cohen had marijuana growing at his residence at Southeast Alder. He's charged with one count of possession, delivery, and manufacture of marijuana, two counts of failing to perform the duties of a driver, which means not to run over kids.
I'm looking at this picture of the old woman, though, from yesterday, an elderly woman who was so upset that streets were closed for the Junior Rose Festival parade, nearly struck several children while driving along a parade route Wednesday. Here's the thing that I love about this. I'm looking at the picture of the woman. She looks exactly like the kind of old woman who would decide just to drive through a parade of children. Her name is Janet Gasser, 81. Drove her car through a parade at Northeast 42nd Avenue and Sandy Boulevard. She drove through the parade route at 35 miles an hour. Narrowly missed hitting several families, children, and an ice cream salesperson who were walking along the road. When the police stopped her only response was, quote, she was really angry that the road was closed for the parade. Well, I'm not advocating you drive through a parade of children. That, of course, would be wrong. But I think we can all sympathize with this woman and her frustration. And that's a great thing about
being... becoming a new tradition.
That's what I'm... We're starting our own tradition this year. And when you get to be 81, that's the great thing about it. You just don't care. What are you going to do? Sir, they won't even put Paris Hilton in jail. And she was driving drunk. They're not going to put this woman in jail. So you can do whatever you want. They're not going to do anything to you. All right.
Well, the Archdiocese of Portland has released 30 previously secret documents detailing, among other things, years of sexual abuse of children by priests. It includes psychological evaluations, allegations by victims, and some candid detail on what went on between priests and their young parishioners over the years. So these are online if you want to read them. The law has to do with not allowing these boys to sleep over in the rectory anymore. A pack of wild dogs has neighbors barking mad in the city of Alloa. These roaming dogs appear to be pit bulls, or perhaps pit bull mixes, are running ragged all over the neighborhood. Neighbors calling the sheriff's deputies to help round up the dogs, but deputies say so far nobody's called animal control, and those are the people who have to put out the word to pick up these roaming pit bulls. If you live in Alloa, well, you're going to be bitten sooner or later. Then a woman got quite a scare this week in Tigard when she parked her car and a man reached out from underneath the vehicle and tried to grab her. She said she just pulled into a parking spot for work. When she went to get out, she thought she stepped on something on the ground, but quickly realized that a man crawled underneath her vehicle. A good neighbor chased the man away, and he got away. Similar incident happened in Lake Oswego. So that's that. The guy is very slim in the face and has no hair at all.
Okay, that's the final tag that makes the story great. We've got this. Somebody said, now this is true, I never thought about this. It says, Rick, do we have any proof that Paris, I've gotten several emails about this. Do we have any proof that Paris actually went to jail at all? No one saw her go into the jail.
Right.
And apparently no one saw her come out of the jail. Do we have any proof that Paris was in jail? No, we don't. I mean, really, the only proof we have, as I always say, the only proof we have that we went to the moon is the government's word. The only proof we have that Paris was in jail was the word of these the L.A. County jail folks who are clearly corrupt and could be bought off anyway. So, no, I mean, yeah, that's exactly right. She's like an Oompa Loompa. Nobody knows how she got in or out. You just saw her silhouettes that are lurking around in there. I have no idea. I mean, I guess it's plausible that they didn't really put her in there at all. If we can all assume that somebody paid somebody who paid somebody, and that's how she was able to sort of get away with all of this.
An envelope with cash.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't seem like
that's what makes the world go around.
It's not too much of a stretch to then sort of figure that she, didn't really report there at all. That it was all an elaborate front, put up. Oh, really? Is that true? Do we have, wait, hold on. I've got it. Let me see if I can bring up the theme. I've got an exciting new theme, for Aaron Geek in the City of Durant. Hold on. All right, wait a hold on. This is our new Aaron Geek in the City theme. Hello, it's Aaron Geek in the City. What's up?
You know, that theme would be officially tight.
Yeah, this is the Imperial March is remixed by our own Fatboy Roberts.
That is some sweet good times.
It is. Hey, what's up?
So that old lady that was running down the kids in Northeast Portland?
Yeah.
She lives in my building.
Fantastic, really. She's one of the old people that has yet to die.
Oh, yeah, man, and she's a mean and nasty little thing. Nobody likes her.
This is Aaron's assessment, by the way.
Is she the guest this week on filmfever.com?
you should totally interview her. I'm sure that she's a charming old person. It is your stated opinion, as someone having met her, that she can be disagreeable.
It's not just my opinion. Everyone in my building believes the same thing. She has no problem bumping into you in the parking garage if she thinks you're walking a little too slow. Now, mind you, half the tenants in the building require walkers, so... She's got no problem just kind of slowly going up behind them and then laying on their horns.
Fantastic. So this is a trend with her. This is a sort of just a stated way of existence.
Yeah, this is just kind of how it is. You make her mad, she kind of taps on the gas.
And her name is Gasser, by the way. That is her last name.
That's right.
Her name is like Rosalie Gasser or some crap. Excellent, my friend. All right, there you go. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you tonight at OMSI Body Worlds 3. Don't forget, later on we'll be announcing the AM 970 Glorious Bastard of the Week. You'll score a pair of tickets to OMSI Body Worlds 3.
I'm so excited to see that again.
Woo-hoo! You're going twice?
Well, it's because you, I know that you passed on it, and I think Scotty J doesn't quite have the stomach for it again. So it'll be Sarah, myself, and Aaron Geek in the City Duran accompanying some lucky Glorious Bastards who've been selected. All right, her name is Janet Gasser.
Maybe she'd like to go see it.
Baby, I think there might be... Okay, I think there's actually video of it on the K2 website. I'm loading the K2 site right now. Woman guns car through parade barricade. Okay, so there might actually be... And then we got to talk about this thing on i5 this morning.
EDU.com don't work for you.
No, that was at Lotus
Steel.
Sell
your computer. Even sell your own home. Sell it on the Northwest Most Advanced Television website.
Yeah, and he just cut that. That's very advanced.
Oh, you know what? They won't let me skip the ad. I'm going to mute it. That's what I'm doing. All right.
That's why people don't watch these things.
They can. They went advertising on the station. They can pay for it. And all right, there we go.
An 81-year-old woman is accused of barreling through barricades at today's junior.
Let's talk about Deborah Knapp for a second. She's part of the new Spirit of the Northwest on K2. Yeah, she's kind of hot. I never really noticed that before. You know what she looks like? She looks like Tiffany Amber Thiessen's maybe like older sister.
Hmm.
That's exactly what she looks like.
Post festival parade, putting several lives in danger, and it happened right in front of our cameras. K2's Tom Jensen is live in the newsroom with the video and the charges against the driver.
This is what passes for live reporting. He's live in the newsroom with a pre-taped piece that he's going to play. He is live 3 feet away from me in front of a VCR where he will then hit play.
Usually they fly a helicopter over the scene hours later.
Right through the barricades on Sandy Boulevard just before the parade.
That's not on.
I was just going to say, they can't afford to actually mic him. So they're just going to speak through the tiny little hole in the front of the video camera. Won't you please, Tom Jensen?
It was set to start at 1 o'clock. It was all police could do to get the woman to stop.
I'm taping this in my bedroom. I am a 12-year-old blogger.
And get children out of the way.
That is so sweet.
Oh, I have to see.
Ran after 81-year-old Janet Gasser's Honda.
Okay, let's back up and watch that again. This is at K2.com, by the way. All right, so this, you see this woman just driving right through the parade route.
All police could do to get the woman to stop and get children out of the way. Ran after 81-year-old Janet Gasser's Honda on foot and followed close behind on ATV, screaming at her to stop. An officer had to jump out of her way, and children on skateboards were almost hit. Police finally stopped.
I don't like children on skateboards.
With the help of an emergency vehicle, no one was in the vehicle. No one was hurt. Investigators say Gasser was angry that the road was closed for the parade, and that's why she drove through the barricade. She is in jail right now.
I think we can all understand it.
Reckless driving and reckless endangering, and could face more charges. Police say Gasser had fresh damage on her car, and they believe she may have been involved in a hit and run just prior to that incident. They want to hear from anyone who may have been a victim of that incident. Live in the newsroom, Tom Jensen, K2 News.
They're saying no kids were hurt. Thanks, Tom.
Yes. Yeah, the kids, the children.
Adults, it's fine.
It's okay. Kill all the adults you want.
And she won for best blows.
After the driver was arrested, the rest of the parade went off just as planned. The parade features about 10...
The parade then resumed a tradition of blocking people who are trying to get to places and get to work and accomplish things. The parade then resumed its stated goal of irritating the living goddamn hell out of everybody who lives there.
10,000 kids from more than 25...
Oh, wait, how many thousand kids? Hold on.
More than 25 elementary and middle schools.
I want to know how many.
From Tom Jensen, KTNU.
Good thing no kids were hurt.
Yes, thank the Lord.
After the driver was arrested, the rest of the parade went off just as planned. The parade features about 10,000 kids from more than 25 elementary and middle schools.
Living hell. Oh, man. The kids are all fat, every one of them. I'm looking at this right now. Just a bunch of fat, pig-like little bastards. Look at him right now. Just a bunch of Augustus gloops with bad teeth.
All weaves their way through the Hollywood District in northeast Portland this afternoon. The event is popular for kids and parents. The Junior Parade has been an official Rose Festival event since 1936.
A bunch of kids who all look like Chunk from the Goonies.
Parade in the nation.
Oh, yeah. All right. Whatever. We should send her a little fruit basket. Maybe some. And I love the idea that according to
the girl on K2 or the old lady?
The old lady.
Oh.
I love the idea that according to the cops, they think she may have come to this parade. Maybe she was making a tour. Maybe she was on her way through Portland just plowing through one parade after another. The idea that she may have just come there after hitting somebody else. That's just speculation, of course. We don't know that that's the case. I'm going to send her a little something. Just a little present from the Rick Emerson Show. Tell them to keep her spirits up. Maybe she'll be out in a couple days.
Some new tires.
Yes, maybe. Under a slight of beef. Let's see. We have here Andy. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. Yeah. That Janice is actually my neighbor. I mow her lawn.
Uh-huh.
And she's priceless. I mean, I'm not surprised to hear at all that she did that. She's a great woman. I love her to death. But she's a retired school teacher also.
Oh, really? I think we know where the anger's come from now.
I think so. It just cracked me up when I heard they said she punched it and just drove right through the barricade and they had to all jump out of the way. But she's awesome. I stick up for her. You know, I can't say anything really bad about her. She cracks me up.
Apart from attempting to run down children in her car, I can't say anything bad about her. And really, and again, I'm not advocating that behavior. But
she should be featured on her own Portlandia episode.
Oh, she's awesome, and I can deliver that basket right to her front porch if you want me to.
Really? Is that true?
Oh, it's totally true.
Oh, that's so great. I don't know what the opposite of going in the book is. We don't really have a book of people that we love.
The show is not about love.
No, it's really not. I was just going to say, what really is wrong with this country and this planet and this show and everybody? I mean, I'm part and parcel, but don't get me wrong. But just the idea that we all just think she's great and we're going to stick up for her after she guns her car through a parade of children.
But she didn't hurt anybody, so that's why it's so great.
No, and that's why, and it's hilarious, man. You watch this, and clearly she's not effing around. She had somewhere to be, and she was tired of children getting in her way.
Oh, when people walk their dogs by her and they kind of come up and sniff all happy, she's like, move along. And that's all she says. And there they go. They move along.
That's exactly who I'm going to be in, like, I mean, not even in 40 years. I mean, like, by next month, probably.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
Excellent. Drop me an email about that. We might send her a little Bath and Body Works gift or something.
All right, I'll do that. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you. Fantastic. That's what's so great about this program is we can mention anything like that. I mean, we got like three people who are always intimately acquainted with somebody in the story. Oh, all right.
Maybe
let's see.
Flowers or beef sticks or sausage or something?
Rick, it was bad enough to read the new Paris news this morning, but upon hearing Scotty J. defend Paris's looks and the decision to release her from jail, I am pissed off to no end. My upper-middle-class suburban ass would like to invoke justice upon one of my own. Release Scotty J. to us so we can beat him senseless. And then he says, I would do Paris with the Louisville bat stained with the ego of Scotty J., just so you know. All right, thank you, Nelson. All right, here's Tim Riley.
And then we had that flatbed semi jackknifing and flipping over at I-5 this morning, blocking the entire roadway during the morning rush hour. Nobody was seriously injured, and the driver was not speeding. The crash may have been caused by a problem with a load of stainless steel. There was 42,000 pounds worth of steel on the truck, and it came loose as it passed through the curves. I can see that happening anytime, really.
I really can.
The weight of the steel piled over the semi blocked all lanes of travel. And nobody was injured as the truck rolled over, which is miraculous.
And I got to say, and this is the other thing is that, I mean, there's our friend Deb who works upstairs. She works in the traffic department. It took her 2.5 hours. She lives in West Lynn. It took her 2.5 hours to get to work today, which is just insanity. So yeah, it's just a bad traffic day. Rick, why the hell is there a parade in the middle of the effing day on a weekday anyway? Why aren't these people at work? What's that?
Well, it's for the kids.
Yes, I mean, the kids and their apparently jobless parents. Really nothing.
And their former teachers.
Why? I don't understand. She just wanted to revisit. She wanted to visit the kids. I'll be seeing you this summer.
She's a stern taskmaster.
You know what she looks like? She looks like that Maxine woman who's on a lot of those Hallmark greeting cards. It's like the cranky old woman with the curlers in her hair and the dog. That's exactly what she looks like. It's so perfect. She lives in Aaron's building, too. Aaron's building is just full of the... Look, I will say this. Aaron's building is nice in the sense that it's very solidly built. And again, as the old people die, they're trying to slot in young people there. But the old people that are still alive in Aaron's... And you walk into that building and you can tell it's just filled with old people because it just smells like Polygrip, you know, and Whiz. And it's just, it has that stench of death and your relatives forgetting to visit you. And during the winter months, there's like a bad silver aluminum Christmas tree in the lobby and just the smell of a lot of meals on wheels in that place. But the people who live there, the old people who still live in Aaron's building, those people who have yet to die, they are just the crankiest, grouchiest people on earth. I mean, I've been over to visit Aaron and Jen occasionally, and it's like, I want to make a cell phone call. And so I'll step out of the hallway, and I'm not shouting, I'm not raising my voice, I'm just talking sort of casually on my cell phone, and two or three doors will open almost simultaneously, and old, withered heads will stick out into the hallway and glare at me and call me Sonny Boy and tell me to stifle it. So, I mean, which is great. I mean, that's one of the great things about being an old person.
Well, you're interrupting their stories.
I'm distracting. I'm making it difficult to stay still during their dialysis. So, you know, so it's fantastic. Let's see. What have we got here? Rick, I just watched the video of the woman speeding through the parade route. The best part was K2's replay where they darkened the screen and put a circle around the car. The only car on the screen. The car that was speeding down a road with nothing else on it, just to make sure we were watching the right thing on the screen. Seriously, it's the only car on the screen. What did they think we were going to be distracted by?
A parade.
Yes, exciting. And the best part is how she plows through the parade, and then they are pursuing her with, like, those four-wheeled ATV things. Let's see. Rick, Deborah Knapp is a hot, milfy-looking woman. I can't help it. For some strange reason, I find her hot as balls. And when you compare her to all the other local newswomen who look as though they've been run over by a bus several times, she absolutely is the hottest.
I think that's probably true.
She really is very attractive. She does have a certain something, Deborah Knapp does, that I find alluring. All right. Fantastic. Well, we should do one more here, and then we'll take a little break. We got lots of news to come. It's just an all-news day. It's very heavy with news. But we'll take a break here so we stay on track. Come back. More from Tim Riley. Dick Giuliano, the top five, all that. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Dick Cheney will undergo a routine heart checkup tomorrow. Cheney's deputy at George Washington University. Cheney has suffered 4 heart attacks, and he's still walking around, including one that occurred just after the 2000 presidential election. A defibrillator was implanted in his chest 6 years ago. His most recent health event took place in March when a blood clot was found in his leg after a trip to Asia and the Middle East. Doctors prescribed the blood-thinning medication to treat that clot.
You know, these stories are all cover. These are nothing can kill Dick Cheney.
No.
Dick, nothing can harm him. Dick Cheney is, like the mayor of Sunnydale, impervious. There is nothing that can be done to him. He can in no way be harmed. There's no amount of injury. There's no infliction that can be brought upon him that he cannot fend off easily. So there you go. It's 503-733-2970. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. More from Tim Riley. We have CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano around the corner, the top five and all that. You say there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. It's the best damn program you've ever heard, that's for sure. 503-733-2970. Coming up, more from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Scotty J. with today's top five. What are we working on today, Scotty? I really like the fact that we've kind of put Scotty and Jay to Scotty and Jay. Scotty, I got that thing. I had this yesterday, too, where I'm transposing all my words. It's getting all mushed up in my mouth. Where we have put Scotty Jay in charge of the top five. It's just sort of mixing it up. It's sort of putting a new, it's like putting a new coat of paint on your house. Top five's got like a different kind of zest, a different kind of zing. A little different sparkle to them. Top five male singers who sound like female singers. Really? Okay. Top five male singers who sound like a woman. We'll be getting to that later on. Like it's a three, Donna, Mike at seven, and so forth. It's 503-73. Oh, and then Susan Reynolds from CBS Radio Portland Marketing needs our assistance on something. By which I mean, she asked me a question. I didn't know the answer, so we're going to ask you because then you'll know, and then it'll be solved, and I'll look like a genius. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Kennedy Space Center, CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano. Hey, Dick, how's it going, man?
Pretty good, Rick. We're looking at the space shuttle Atlantis on its seaside launch pad against a backdrop of slightly cloudy skies. This space shuttle, along with seven astronauts, being prepared for liftoff tomorrow evening, a Friday evening launch, just before sunset. And, Rick, everything looks good. The countdown is moving smoothly. And the weather forecast, 80% chance of favorable weather for the first launch of Space Shuttle this year.
And so this is now, we've talked about this before, but I kind of get these details mixed up in my head. I know that there is a little bit of a ticking clock in as much as the space program is sort of winding down the space shuttle.
Yeah, that's exactly right. NASA has already decided that the space shuttle is going to go out of business in 2010. And largely, just about every space shuttle flight between now and then is dedicated to further, really completing construction of the International Space Station. This mission, too, will be a space station mission in which spacewalking astronauts will do some construction up there. They're also going to pick up an astronaut who was left there since December, Sonny Williams, and bring a new crew member. So bring a new space station member and return one who's been there since December.
Now, does NASA sort of, I don't know how to put this more eloquently, but does NASA sort of get to do as many space shuttle missions as they want between now and 2010, or is it regimented out between now and then?
It's pretty much laid out in a launch manifest. When this program began many years ago, NASA envisioned launching something like 12 shuttles a year. It never, ever reached that potential. At most, I think they may have done six a year, and here we are halfway through the year, and they've only been able to do one. I think certainly after Challenger exploded on launch and Columbia disintegrated on reentry, Americans have grown accustomed to the idea that this is not a routine program, and space exploration is not easy. It's not easy to break the bounds of gravity and get up into orbit, and I think NASA's shown that.
All right. So they are going to stay up in orbit how long this time?
This is an 11-day flight. It's seven crew members. And, it's just going to help build the space station. They also have another little kind of interesting thing, Rick. You know, Jamestown, Virginia is marking its 400th anniversary this year. Remember the Queen went there?
Yes.
They're carrying up an artifact from Jamestown that was found in a well there, a really ancient cargo tag that says Jamestown that archaeologists found. And that's aboard Atlantis, and it's going to be taken into orbit as part of the commemoration.
Fantastic. CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano, it is always a pleasure, my friend. We will talk to you very soon.
Fine, sir. Thank you.
There you go. Thank you. CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano looms large in the Rick Emerson pantheon. God bless him. All right. Why do I ever worry about that guy? I was during the break or something, I'm like, I don't know too much about the space shuttle launch this time. I was like, I know that it's kind of launching or it's taking off, but I don't really know anything else about it. Why do I even worry?
Dick's all pro.
It's like interviewing Ted Nugent. All I had to do was say, like, go, and he just runs with it. All right. Rick. About Deborah, now we're just getting nothing but Deborah Knapp emails. Rick, Deborah Knapp started with K2 on their early morning show when she even looked hot at 5 a.m. But the best thing about, okay, this is a creepy sounding email, but this is, I'm just reading them as they come in, folks. The best thing is when she modeled some clothing on AM Northwest. Very tight dresses with low cut necklines. Anyway, she got married last year, he says. Signed Greg, the guy who likes news broads. All right, thank you, sir. I just don't really know that I've ever paid that much attention to her for some reason. About the Rick, about the newscasters in Portland having the Vancouver look. What is the Vancouver look?
I don't know.
I don't even really know. Okay, I'm going to read this email just as it's written. And then you tell me if this makes any sense. About the newscasters in Portland having the Vancouver look. Maybe it's a personal preference. Oh, I think he's. I think the indication. I'm doing it again. I think the implication here is that he believes. How do I put this? I believe he thinks Deborah Knapp to be. What do the kids say, Scotty? Yes, on the thicker side, maybe. He says. I don't even really know what it is. And then he refers to her having the. He says she has the White Rain look. What is White Rain? Isn't that a shampoo?
I think it's a really cheap shampoo.
Oh, I see. Maybe he thinks she looks trashy. I don't know. It would be wrong of me to speculate on her trashiness. I'm just saying that I do find her hot.
We've always liked trashy girls.
I'm not saying Deborah Knapp is trashy. That's you saying that, not me.
I don't even know what she looks like.
Really? She's hot. A little bit trashy. Kind of hot. Let's see. She looks like...
I'm looking her up.
She does look like Tiffany Thiessen's kind of older sister. That's
Deborah Knapp?
Deborah Knapp from KJ. I got a picture of her if you want to see it.
Okay.
It's right over. Let's see. Where do we go? It's I just had a second ago. Oh, Susan Reynolds has sent me a suggestion for the old woman's gift basket. For this woman, whatever her name is, Gasser, who drove her car through the parade. We'll get to that in just a second. Hold on. Let me... It's kind of a scattered day today, but let me find this picture of Deborah Knapp that we've got here. Hold on. Let's see, where did it go? Deborah Knapp, hot milfy look. Right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see? Cute. Yeah, she is.
She's like a sorority girl.
Really, you think?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, well, I'm just saying. Let's see, this email says, Rick, oh, this is, and I was just getting emails about tight and so forth. Rick, how about a segment on the show called News You Would Do? We can just all weigh in on which reporters we'd like to F. Come on. No, you know, I don't think so. I think we'll move on. Susan Reynolds, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru, says, Rick, it seems like there's some obvious things we can put in the gift basket for the old woman who tried to run down the kids in the parade. We do have a DVD of The Fast and the Furious, also some Shell gas cards. How about a TriMet bus pass or an AM970 sticker for her car? Let's face it, it's the only way we're going to get onto television. See, that's why I love Susan. Right there. Right there with her patented black wit. Rick, two ways to evaluate the current Paris Hilton publicity. I can be swayed either direction. One, if the media stopped giving Paris publicity by not discussing her anymore, it would be considered a way of disempowering her to some extent. She thrives on publicity. It's all she's got. Media negative discussion about Paris could produce backlash sympathy for her, thereby adding to her notoriety. That's not true. There ain't nothing going to create backlash sympathy for Paris. That's impossible. I will admit that... She's like a plant, and the media really is her sunlight. I mean, that's where her photosynthesis comes from. She turns media attention into sustenance. I will absolutely admit that that's the case. He says, you often comment there's nothing you can do about certain issues, but there's something you can do about Paris. Stop talking about her. Deprive her of her power, so to speak. And then, of her power, comma, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Two. Paris is such a ridiculous cultural icon, though, that even ignoring her at this point would not affect her notoriety, so you might as well shamelessly pander to the prevailing temptation to talk about her to boost ratings. It might not matter what the media does today, signed David. No, I'm with you. Well, that's, you know, again, I have no pretense that this is a serious news program or that we're here to make the world better, engage in rational, serious, level-headed discourse about anything. I mean, Paris Hilton is what people are talking about. It's what we're talking about. It's because she just drives me crazy. She is the very definition of disproportionate anger today, that whole story.
Well, I really just want to know what the rules are for house arrest. Like, if she's allowed to have people over, you know, what she's allowed to do and, you know, not do.
I don't know.
Or if somebody's there with her, like if there's, you know, somebody watching her.
I don't know. If only we were able to talk to CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop today, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Suppose we can talk to Rachel McGrath again. She's always nice. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yo, Rick, hey. I got some insight on Deborah Knapp.
Okay, before we plunge headlong into this, and don't get me wrong, I do appreciate your call, and we'll continue with it in just a moment. Let's make sure that we're not stalking Deborah Knapp in any way or encouraging stalking in other people. That would be wrong.
That would be totally wrong. She's actually my neighbor, and if you think she is stunning on TV, she's even more stunning in person.
Okay.
She's one of the, she is one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life, and all I got to say is that's the kind of sugar daddy likes.
Would you say...
Yeah, she does look really naturally beautiful.
Oh, he's gone. I'll get to pump him for more information. That's probably just as well, actually. Now, she does seem to be very legit... I'm not going to say who, but we were at OMSI yesterday. Yesterday was press day at this OMSI, the OMSI Body World 3. And so it was, you know, the Body World 3 thing. So it was, I'm just going to give a blanket apology for today for the fact that I cannot seem to speak. I cannot, this was
You're
happening.
You're doing fine.
It really, this, is happening to, this was happening to somebody else today, like Don
no,
or Mike
you
or
were,
somebody.
No, yesterday you were crazy. Today you're fine.
It's just that I'm having trouble linking my words together correctly. I don't know why that is. We were at OMSI yesterday, and we're walking around doing the media thing. And there was a news station there doing live hits, as they say, which is where, you know, the idiots at the desk go. And now we have another one of our vacuous reporters at OMSI. Hey, what's going on down there at OMSI? And then they cut to the, you know, whatever. They cut to what Don Henley referred to as the bubble-headed bleach blonde. But there was this woman who I will not identify.
No characteristics.
No, I won't. Well, I don't even really remember. She just looked really pointy and unpleasant.
She looked really if I could describe one word, it would be unpleasant.
She looked like a horrible person.
And her little buddy the guy that was with her didn't look too nice either.
Yeah, it was a guy and a woman, and they were there obviously reporting for the local television news programs. And she just seemed like an awful person. Just really sort of sharp featured and emaciated, and just sort of seemed to have a real pokey. And I'm no one to talk, but a real pokey, spiky, unpleasant personality. Anyway, the thing about Deborah Knapp, I say, just continuing to plunge headlong into creepiness here, is that she really does look legitimately beautiful. So, anyway, I should stop right now.
Yes, you really should.
It's one of those days where I just don't have much of a filter on me, and it's just gonna sound like I'm doing a lot of salivating, and that would be wrong. We should get her on the show at some point, though, don't you think? Or is that one of those statements?
That was really creepy.
Is that one of no, just to talk about the news and issues.
Your issues?
Put her
where?
I was just going to say put her in this chair right here, right next to me.
Rick, you know that you sound creepy, right?
I'm saying she's a public figure. I think the audience would find it interesting and compelling to know what one of Portland's most prominent news anchors thinks about the issues of the day, Sarah. Why do you hate America? Rick... Damn, this job sucks Angus sometimes. I won't be back in time for your show from a Seattle delivery. It's good to have friends to fill me in, but it's not the same. It says career. And oh, speaking of Angus, hold on. I should play this before we do anything else. I should play this just so it's sort of done. Let me see if I've got this here. This is, we were big fans of this Jack in the Box commercial that they've been running on television where it's the Jack in the Box guy in a boardroom, and he's pointing at, we talked about this on Memorial Day, but of course if you weren't listening, you didn't hear it, where he's, you may have seen this commercial on television, where the jack-in-the-box guy, you know, with the big ping-pong head, is in a conference room, and he's pulling down the sort of blueprint of a cow, and he's pointing to where, like, whatever, like the you know, not the filet mignon or whatever, but, you know, the different cuts of the steak of the cow are. And it's clearly a knock at some of the other fast food restaurants who talk about having Angus steak. And he says, well, like, here's the sirloin cut, and here's, like, the tenderloin cut, and here's, like, the rib cut. And then a guy in the room raises his hand and says, can you show me the Angus on the cow? And the camera pans just right to where the tight shot is just the jack-in-the-box guy and the cow's butt. And then they just repeat the word Angus a whole lot, and then they giggle. And so, what is it, like Hardee's and Carl's Jr., who I think might actually be the same restaurant. I might be wrong about that, but I think they might be the same restaurant under two sort of different names in different parts of the country. Anyway, so Carl's Jr. and Hardee's are filing some big lawsuit about these Jack in the Box commercials where they're talking about sirloin, which is what is served by Hardee's and Carl's Jr., because they're saying that the ads imply that they are serving, and I'm quoting now from the lawsuit, because apparently the Jack in the Box commercials seem to imply that they are serving you the anus of the cow by repeatedly using the word Angus to talk about their meat and so forth. By the way, it is very telling that nowhere in the Carl's Jr. response or the Hardee's response do they ever actually flat out deny that they are serving you cow anus, but that's just an ancillary observation. So here is the latest. This is a follow-up to this. This is a real ad. This is a radio commercial now. This is the radio version of those Jack in the Box Angus commercials, which are currently airing right now. I had a lot of people send me.
Hi, this is Jack. You're tuned to the Jack Show. Let's take a call.
Jack, I'm from the Radio Communications Council. I've been monitoring your show and have recorded you using the word Angus 31 times.
And?
If you continue, I'm going to have to fine you $500 per Angus.
Hey, I was merely talking about my competitor's Angus
burgers. That's $500.
Burgers. And how I think my sirloin burger is superior. It's 100% ground sirloin, seasoned while it cooks, and served with your choice of three cheeses and grilled or red onions, or you can add bacon, and it's all on a toasted bakery-style bun.
You're telling me Angus is the name of a burger?
Yeah.
Of all the things to call it, they pick Angus.
Angus. I know. I don't get it either.
Angus.
So we're cool, right?
Totally. Sirloin rules.
Sirloin rules. And now here's Gary Luster, a real-life crew member from St. Louis.
Try Jack's new 100% sirloin burger. Big, juicy, and seasoned while it cooks. With your choice of cheese and grilled or red onions. Or add bacon on a toasted bakery-style bun. Sirloin rules.
How great is that?
That is really
the best. Whoever came up with that ad campaign, they ought to just get the Clio Award right now. I mean, they shouldn't have to compete. There shouldn't be any vote. They ought to just give the Clio to whoever it is that came up with that. I mean, that really is, that's like latter-day Freeburg is what that is. I mean, it's just fantastic. It's a brilliant ad. And I'm not passing judgment on the quality of either of those restaurants, because, you know, I don't really eat fast food. So then it's not like I'm some purist about it. I just don't. I eat junk food, but I don't eat a lot of fast food. A lot of drive-through food, we'll put it that way. It's just a brilliant commercial. It's just fantastic. From my, and I'm telling you, here's two other commercials I heard the other day. Here's some commercials that are really good. Have you heard that? Is it Burger King where they've got the drive-through cowboy? Where it's the guy, he's a guy and he does the whole commercial over the little drive-through box. Hey, I'm Ted. I'm the late-night drive-through cowboy at Burger King.
I don't watch a lot of commercials. I don't think you watched a lot of commercials.
No, it's a radio ad.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a radio ad. Where he's a guy, he's calling himself the Burger King drive-thru cowboy. It's just a really, really well-done commercial. There's another one running right now, and I think I heard it during John and Jeff. I think it's on this station, where it's for AM, PM. And it's just, it's hard to describe, but there's a guy talking about, come on into the AM, PM, and, you know, buy some whatever. Buy whatever you're going to do there. But it's just, pardon me. Pardon me. Why I don't, There we go. So I try not to drink beverages during the program because I can barely operate my mouth correctly even when I'm free of liquid. Anyway, there's a couple really... We are living in kind of a golden age of great, well-done, funny commercials right now. But that Jack in the Box thing, I mean, that just takes the cake. It's just... It's fantastic. What are we doing here? Hi, this is the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, I'm that Jack in the Box thing, man. I swear to you, just the other day I was thinking, you know, if I was going to meet one fast food restaurant mascot on the entire planet, it would be that guy, dude. He just busts me up every time I hear it.
And that Angus spot is just genius. It really is.
That's one of the few things that actually got me laughing out loud while I'm driving. I mean, it's pretty hard to get me to do that, but, you know, and, I mean, it just hits me.
And by the way, for those for old school Duckman fans who are in the house, if you used to watch the Duckman cartoon, you will note that the voice of the Radio Communications Commission guy is played by what's his name, who was the voice of Corn Fed on the Duckman cartoon. So it's
good. Little pig, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Corn Fed, he was Duckman's assistant. That's totally, I forget his name, but that's the same guy. What's up?
Hey, first off, I just got to say that you guys are all sick for what you pulled on us yesterday. I was this close to pulling the trigger, man, I'm telling you. But you came back just in time, and that was not funny by any stretch of the imagination.
You know, you gotta have moments of doubt to appreciate the program.
Dude, I'm not even joking, man. I swear to you, that has happened to me so many times. I've been listening since I was like 16 years old. And, dude, I've heard you fall off of the air, three times since then, and every time my heart hits the floor. And, you know, that hit me where it hurts, I'm telling you. That was not cool. But anyhow, the reason I'm calling is this girl that I was seeing for a little while, she got pulled over and got a DUI. Sorry about my voice. I got a little throat thing going on right now. But she went to jail for 2 days. She had to spend 2 days in jail. And then they prescribed her Anabuse, and then she got sent on house arrest for, I think, 30 days or something like that.
Now, Anabuse is the thing that if you try to drink alcohol, it makes you violently ill, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like a pill that you swallow and eat. It dissolves in your mouth. So it's like, it's instant, man. I mean, you can't, believe me, she was an alcoholic. She tried. But she, any sip of alcohol, and it has a serious adverse effect on, you know, not vomiting your guts out. But anyhow, the whole time that she was on house arrest, they made her take the Anabuse. You have to take it in front of what her parole officer or whatever, so they make sure that you cannot drink. But as far as having company and having parties and stuff, dude, I mean, we went over there and we had lots of people over there, and I think she even threw a kegger while she couldn't drink just for all of her friends, just to, you know, make herself feel better, I guess, because she was at home alone for long parts of the day or whatever. But
fantastic. Excellent. Well, you know, so I guess there's a lot of ways to get around it, and especially if you're Paris Hilton, who, again, is we're not even really sure that she went to jail at this point. Mm-hmm. We don't know if she went to jail. We don't know that she got the body cavity search. We're not sure if they're testing her for anything. So
yeah, and you know, I mean, I heard you guys actually say that earlier, and it hadn't even occurred to me at that point that is actually a possibility. You know what? I mean, dude, I was just watching that lookalike competition thing on the TV last night.
Right.
I didn't sleep. And, I mean, who's to say that she couldn't pay somebody to go in there and do that for her anyhow?
I'm with you, my friend. All right, thank you, sir.
Yeah, well, take it easy, man.
All right, there you go. That's Nick. Oh, and remember, sir, we only hurt you because we love you. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. Bobby around the corner with more house arrest observations. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. We'll have today's top five coming up. Top five male singers who sound female. And you assist CBS Radio Portland marketing guru Susan Reynolds. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Here's Ugly Kid Joe. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Rick, am I the only one disturbed by the Burger King commercial, Wake Up with the King? What is he doing at night in that guy's bed? Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, sir. The AM-PM commercial I'm talking about is the one, it has this tagline. The tagline is, I think it's too much good stuff or whatever. But, I can't do it justice. It's all about the guy's delivery. It really is the difference between just hiring some hack and getting, like, good, decent voice talent. It's a, you know, you get a Billy West type guy. And it's fantastic. It really is great. That and the Burger King, the late-night drive-through cowboy one is great. If I could find that, I'd be playing it. Rick, on Duckman, Dweezil Zappa was corn-fed. No. Dweezil Zappa was Ajax. Dweezil Zappa played the... Dad? I'm sorry, Dodd. Yeah, that was Dweezil Zappa, who I suspect is not straying far from character in that role. Rick, going back to the 11 a.m. hour and the definition of tight. Oh, God, this will have to wait. Ladies and gentlemen, the Reverend Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So Paris Hilton's house arrest does not come with any prohibitions regarding visitors or restrictions on alcohol use.
Really?
Yes.
No provisions, no restrictions, nothing. As long as she's there, she can do whatever she wants. She can have people over, she can hang out, she can drink herself blind.
She'll be wearing the Smartly style Sentinel dual track ankle bracelet, which operates on a radio frequency and comes with a home monitoring unit. She must stay within distance of 500 feet of this unit. The bracelet, which has an internal battery backup of 50 hours, snaps on, so she won't have to worry a little head with any tools or complicated snapping. Let's see. And for hygienic reasons, the bracelet also comes with a disposable back plate that eliminates any tedious cleaning on Paris's part. So that's that.
You know, here's the thing. These things are all part and parcel of the same sort of vibe. We were talking about that woman who, and again, it should be noted that the Rick Emerson Show does not advocate or promote violence. Kids, don't say it with violence. Say it with puppies. Violence is wrong. Most of the time, you shouldn't engage in it. It's best to find peaceful solutions to things. That being said, we were talking about this woman, whatever her name is, Deborah Gasser or whatever, this school teacher that drove...
And she was warned to stop twice.
That drove her car through the parade.
Yes, it.
Yes, yesterday. And she's the second person in one day to do that, right? Because
yeah.
Mm-hmm. it was like an old guy that did it.
That they found pot in his car.
Yeah. So that was two people who... I'm just now just conveying apparently what the news has been reporting, that just got tired of a stupid goddamn parade blocking their way and decided to do what they felt needed to be done. Now, they didn't harm anybody. Nobody was injured. She just assumed that if she started driving her car at a relative rate of speed through the parade, that the kids would get out of her way.
Right.
And they did. Anyway, that and this Paris Hilton thing are very much connected in a way, in that I think we have just reached, I'm not going to say we're at a flashpoint in society, because a flashpoint is when, like, riots and revolutions happen. I'm just saying, I think we are reaching a point in American society when people have about had it with certain things. That's all I'm saying. I really do feel, and maybe it's just today, Sarah and I were talking about it with Tim in the kitchen earlier, this is a great talk radio day, because it's one of those days where there's a little bit of crazy in the air. Like, you do feel... we always go back to the quintessential example, which is when Michael Jackson didn't show up to court that day, or that day that Britney Spears, she shaved her head or whatever the hell it was, or she overdosed or whatever the hell she did that day.
Nobody talks about her anymore.
Well, what is the... Didn't Britney Spears do something, and it was the same day the guy threw himself off the Paramount?
Yeah.
It was that day that all that crap happened. Anyway, whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is, there's a little bit of crazy in the air today, but I don't think that's where this is coming from. I do think that my read on the American people is accurate on this subject. I do think we are getting to a point where people have become very, very, very unwilling just to accept certain things. And I think people are getting to the point where when something strikes them as wrong, or when something strikes them as ridiculous or inane, that they just don't want to accept certain things. And I think we are reaching a point where people are just, they're snapping when they are confronted with something that they find to be ridiculous or stupid or that offends or bothers them in some way. Where they just, there's no talking, there's no negotiating. People just go right for the nuclear solution. People just go right for the scorched earth solution, as they say. And I think that's the deal with Paris. I do believe that's the anger about this Paris Hilton thing, is this sense that there's nothing you can do about it. This sense that there can be, and I know I'm overstating, it's not like she committed genocide, but it is. I think we can all agree that it is, in a very real sense, a sort of miscarriage of justice, because she was drunk driving, she violated any number of court orders, and now there's just, you know, I think we are certainly suspicious whether she went to jail in the first place, but she's certainly being treated differently, because she's a rich white person, than anybody else who is not one of those things would be. And the fact that now she served 3 days out of 45, she's going to be at home in her mansion drinking and carrying on and so forth. And there's just this sense in the American populace that there's a bunch of goddamn nonsense going on, and there's nothing you can do about it through conventional, normal, legal, traditional means. And that if you want to make a difference or want to make an impact, you've got to just do whatever it is you think needs to be done. Now, I'm not saying that's right, but I'm saying I do think there is that sense. And I think it manifests itself in things like this woman, who realizes there's nothing you can do to stop 10,000 irritating, grubby-faced, snot-nosed children from walking by and blocking your attempts to get somewhere. It's like those critical mass guys. It's like every time you've had to wait for a bridge lift to go up. It's like every time you've been late to work and some goddamn train has decided to go by. A train that could have gone by, I don't know, after 5 p.m. The train that could have gone by at 9 o'clock at night or when rush hour wasn't happening in the morning. But no, they decide that the train's got to go by at 7:43 when you're already late to work. And you're pissed because you've spilled coffee on your pants. And so you got to sit there and wait 25 minutes for the stupid friggin' train to go by. And I think we are at this point in American society where people are just not willing to take it. And they're willing to just sort of, I hate to use the phrase, take things into their own hands. But I think we are reaching a time in American society when people are just not going to take crap. And they're just going to start snapping like twigs left and right. That's all I'm going to say. I think we are entering what Joel Schumacher and Michael Douglas in 1992 would have called the falling down stage of American life. All right, I'm sorry, Tim. I didn't mean to go on a thing. Go ahead.
No, it was wonderful.
Thank you. It was charming.
Would there be anything else?
From me?
Yes.
No, I'm done for now.
All right, then. Well, we have plenty of places that we can go to from here. How about the fellow who drowned in the sewer? Have you heard about him?
Sewer?
I barely knew her.
Well, anyway, from Sheboygan that comes word.
So great. Sheboygan.
Yes, it's from Sheboygan. A man drowned yesterday afternoon after getting stuck in a storm sewer while attempting to retrieve his dropped cell phone. Brett Gunn, who weighs more than 300 pounds, was wedged with his head and shoulders underwater in a virtual storm drain in front of his home. There was about 12 inches of water at the bottom of the sewer. He was unconscious when rescuers pulled him out, and he was pronounced dead at the scene. His neighbor, who was mowing his lawn at the time, saw Mr. Gunn kneeling over the sewer moments before he fell in. They say he had removed the iron grate to retrieve the cell phone. I don't know if he dropped something or what, so I went about my business and moved back to the spot. And I was further back in the yard, I didn't see him.
I was going to say, who could possibly want a cell phone so much that they'd reach their feces to get it? But
how much time we got?
I do have to say that up in my office right now is a cell phone that I swear to God I quite literally dug out of a toilet in the parking lot here in the back. So that was covered in
stool.
That I actually have now framed. So I'm really no one to cast stones in this particular glass house.
So that's that. A child called 911 to try to free the neighbor, but it was just too late.
That's great. I had a story similar to that that was a Darwin watch. I don't know where it went. We are just awash in news right now, so it's hard.
There's just too much.
There really is a lot going
on. It's going to stop. Meanwhile, after 35 years and 6,500 programs, Bob Barker gave away his last showcase on The Price is Right yesterday. The 83-year-old retired from the show after a 50-year career in television. Immediately following the broadcast, he spoke briefly to the audience, expressing his appreciation for the support over these many, many years.
I thank you for inviting me into your homes for 50 years.
He says the final episode was very emotional for him.
To think that not just the 35 years of Price is Right, but 50 years on television. And now it's all over, and except maybe
except for the dying
role here or an interview there. But this is the first time since I was 21 years old that I didn't have a show.
You know, he's one of those guys, though. One of two things. He'll go home, and he'll die next week. I don't mean to be morbid, but I mean, that's how it always works with these guys. You take away the thing they do for a living, bam, dead. Or he'll sit it out for like 2 weeks, and he'll decide that the strain is just, you know, of not having a show is just too much. He'll do what we always do. He'll be out of the game and swear that he's never going back. And then he'll be on the Game Show Network like 10 days from now. We were always amazed that Carson was able to stay off
the
air.
He was the only one who said he'd never come back and kept his promise.
It's true. I mean, and that's what makes Carson so great, is he went out and he stayed out and resisted the temptation, which must have been enormous.
Well, I believe he spent most of his time sailing around the world.
And effing that hot wife of his.
Yeah.
But the temptation to get back on the air just for its own sake, and I can't even imagine the amount of money they must have waved at Johnny Carson. I cannot even fathom the blank check that they must have offered Carson if he would have come back. But he was great, man. This is one of the things that Mike Chase and I have always bonded about. That how great Carson was. He was so great. The best that's ever been at that. And then he retired, and he stayed retired. You didn't have to see him get really old. You didn't have to see him get close to death. He just retired, and he played tennis for the rest of his life and died rich and happy and a legend. So, you know, anyway. Bob Barker, by the way, has aged about 100 years in the last week.
Yeah, you notice that? they finally took away the makeup artist.
Yeah, the gray lens came off the camera. Tim totally, I came in today, and Tim's like, Bob Barker's turned into Dorian Gray, which is really true. All right.
Old Bob got a tad emotional when he talked about a visit to an old friend.
He came into my dressing room, put his arms around me, and I can't talk about it.
Wait, who's the old friend?
I don't know.
Sorry.
Rosebud.
He said goodbye, and it was tough.
Oh, come on, that's no fair.
I know.
They got to tell us who it is.
Secret to his grave.
And then, wait a second.
We'll have more Bob Barker sound bites a little bit later.
Barker? Oh, damn it. That was completely wrong. Well done, Rick.
Jesus.
God damn, I'm stupid. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
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 Hello. Hey, what's going on? This is Bobby Trail.
Hey, what's up?
So you wanted a little bit more insight on the whole house wrestling, right?
Well, sure.
Oh, well, why not? Okay. Well, this happened a few years ago when I was a young kid. I was arrested for walking through a school with a beer, and I got busted for trespassing in the second degree.
You were an adult walking through school with a beer?
I was 20.
Were you that guy going back to hang out and sell weed to your friends?
Yeah, that was totally me. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
The Johnny drama?
On young chicks. Yeah, no. No,
okay.
Not by any stretch. I think it was like 11 o'clock at night, and so anyways, I walked through, I got picked up by the cops. They just so happened to be waiting for me on the other side, I guess.
Of course.
And I spent 4 days in jail, and then went to a trial and got 6 months for it. And 3 of those months I spent on the work release program in the MCBC, and then the other 3 months I did house arrest.
So house arrest, What is the deal? It's like when you don't have to be somewhere, like job or, you know, seeing a parole officer, you're just...
I was actually able to go to my job still while I was on house arrest, but right. There's, like, all these different stipulations, like, a couple of different things. I did have the little ankle bracelet. There was a monitor that I had at my house.
And what happens if you got too far away, if the monitor went off? Did they come and find you?
I never got that far away. But technically, yes, I was.
All right, excellent.
So if I had to go to work, I would have to call up my probation officer and say, this is when I'm going to work. Call him up, get to my work, and through caller ID, they would be able to see that I was actually at work.
While I was
at work, they had no idea what I was doing.
So, now, were there any stipulations put on your alcohol consumption?
Yeah, there was. Because I was caught with a beer, I had to, I would have to do, like, a breathalyzer whenever my PO would come over.
Wow. All right, well,
I was not allowed to drink whatsoever. I wasn't allowed to have anybody over with alcohol. There was no alcohol allowed in the house whatsoever. So, like, when that Periscope is getting away with, like, that there's no stipulations, like, she could actually go out and have parties. That's BS, that sucks.
If only you've been bored a weird, waxy, duck-like celebrity.
So. I tried. I really did. I had the wrong parents.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, I do, Rick.
Yes.
I have a quick joke for you. And then I ran this through Scotty a couple weeks ago.
All right, hold on. Now, hold on. Before you tell us the joke, sir, we're going to give you a minute to ponder it. You decide whether this is something you really want to... Well, I have to use it correctly now. I just screwed up and used it wrong a second ago. All right, do you still want to tell the joke, sir?
Okay. What has a one-inch penis and hang down?
I don't know.
A bat. And what has a 10-inch penis that hangs up?
I don't know. All right, fantastic. That really is genius. Okay, that is great. I should have seen that coming, too. That's the kind of joke that sneaks up on you, and then as soon as he says the punch, I'm like, oh, why didn't I see it coming? Okay, that's great. Well done, sir. Fantastic. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru Susan Reynolds. Why, hello there.
Hi, you know, you should have hung up on him first.
but that's if only I was that bright. All right, so yesterday was the one-year anniversary of Horns Across the Hawthorn.
Yes,
it was. And we were talking yesterday about the... I got to put that video on the website, by the way, that Joni DeRoshi made. We were talking about how yesterday, a year ago, we had all been so concerned that they were going to do a bridge lift halfway through the event. Too,
right, because of the Rose Festival.
Totally, which it turns out they did not do. But so Scotty has had people calling this week asking if we are going to be doing something for 777. And I realize now we've got to plan something every year for the next, like 5 years? Because we got 777, 888, 999, all the way through 12, 12, 12, right?
I guess so.
So I don't know what we're going to do on 8 or 9. But so... 777, which is July 7th of this year, is coming up. And so we had this sort of rolling idea. It started as one thing, and it was originally something for Harry Potter because we thought Harry Potter was coming out on 777, but that's not true. I think Harry Potter's like the 24th or something.
Or the 13th, or I don't know. Anyway, but we were talking about some kind of, you know, lucky sevens situation.
And so we started talking about the 777 and not gambling, because that, of course, is unlawful, but yeah. But gaming. We were talking about doing a scratch thing or like a giveaway thing or whatever. And then we had what I thought was the greatest, coolest, trashiest idea ever, which I've never seen done. I'm not saying it hadn't been done, but it was very, it was a little less, you know, it wasn't big and overarching like the Horns Across the Hawthorn thing. It was pretty simple, but it was kind of cool, which is that we get like a big ass slot machine, like maybe one of those comically large ones like they have at the MGM Grand, where it's like the huge, one where you put like, it takes like $5 and it's like one huge pull. But you get like a big ass slot machine mounted somehow in the back of the AM970 vehicle. So like you open the doors in the back of the vehicle and there's like a big ass slot machine. And my whole thing is, we just take it around town all day long and it stays in that location for 7 minutes. And the deal is, if you're a listener, you go there, and then, like, you pull the handle, and, like, maybe you win something, right? That there'd be, like, some cash prize or some whatever. And so that was our initial plan, was, like, hey, the 970 vehicle is going to be at, like, such and such a location. It's right, you know, it's there right now. It'll be there for 7 minutes. You go by. You open up the doors. There's a slot machine in the back. Chunk. You pull the handle. Maybe you win. Maybe you don't. So then we found out, though, that slot machines even if, because this, and this is obviously not a thing you have to put money into, it would just be like a, it would be free, it would be
right.
a contest.
Right.
So somebody then told us that slot machines, help me out here, are what, illegal?
Yeah,
at
illegal.
All, or period?
Well, I think it's the state of Oregon. I mean, I don't think this is a nationwide thing, but we were confused and we were trying to get answers, and we thought, well.
So did they tell you that it was that they were illegal, period? Even if they're in like if you go to the center, do they even have them there?
You know,
I don't think we do.
I don't think we got really clarification on this, and it's not the lack of trying.
I don't think we do, and I think the Oregon Gaming Commission was a little. They were a little vague about this. I don't think we were able to get clarification about this. But all the evidence indicated that even if we went to like a place like Le Centre, where Whitey runs his casinos, or is that Le Centre? Is Le Centre Whitey?
No, I don't think so.
Whitey doesn't run casinos.
No,
I guess. I guess he just has the scratch off tickets.
Right.
I guess that's all Whitey can do. but this brings up an interesting point, which is that some of the Indian tribes, they are. I guess to make up for the smallpox, they're allowed to have, I mean, they can, you know, they have a sort of flexible system of laws there that are different from laws on non-tribal areas. So if you are on a reservation, like that's why they can sell fireworks.
Right.
That's why if you're on a reservation, that's Spirit Mountain or
you can
or
do
Chinook
the gaming
Plains,
thing.
They can do the gaming thing. So this is where the money really is paid for. This really is why CBS pays us the large dollars here. So my whole idea was we just get a member of one of the tribes to just drive around in the AM970 vehicle with us. We call it a mobile reservation.
Exactly.
For that day, it is the AM970 vehicle, which is a mobile section of the Chinook Nation.
Which I thought was brilliant.
Well, look, now there is precedent for this. This is one of those things where Sarah's just turning off her mic and looking away. But now, listen to me now. Follow me. There is precedent for this. Now, you know, the Sioux people, there was no physical Sioux nation. The Sioux did carry the Sioux nation with them in their heads. Wherever they went, wherever they were at that particular time, that, my friends, was the Sioux nation. So why can we not say, for example, that the AM970 vehicle parked at, oh, I don't know, one of our many fine sponsors is, for that 7 minutes, the Sioux nation. Therefore, the slot machine, totally legal.
I can't find any fault.
Can you hear me in the back?
Well, we have to get some kind of official.
Well, but we asked the. Have we asked anybody about this?
Yeah, we're trying.
I feel that people are glossing over this idea of mine and not stopping to reflect upon its true
it's
innovation.
Brilliant, yes.
It really is brilliant.
You didn't
think of it.
He'll say anything. Good point. He'll say anything to get the slot machine.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. So I don't really know how that works. So if we can somehow have a representative of one of the many tribes that are extant here in the Northwest,
right?
They're with us, and then we could, and you know, and it's promoting cultural understanding.
How long of a period of time does it take to establish something as a reservation?
7 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. I don't. I have no idea. I don't even really know if that's a thing that is. Is it defined? This is a dumb question. Is an Indian reservation? Is that a thing that is defined geographically by the government?
This is your brilliant idea. You figure it out.
No, but I'm saying, but the reason we're talking about it here is because I'm hoping someone in the audience will be able to answer this question. Because now I know we do have, I don't even know, that stupid blue book has ruined our entire show. I don't even know how I'm supposed to phrase anything.
Well, right.
I was going to say people of Indian extraction, but that's not just the guy who helps me with tech support. That didn't make any sense. So, you know what I'm saying, as somebody who is a, you know.
Feather wearing descent.
Okay.
That just makes me think of that Burger King subservient chicken. I'm just saying, if you're an Indian, you know, give us a call.
Right. There's there we go.
There's no way to put a finer point on it. We're looking for Indians to call the
call any tech support place and find the Indians.
No, see, that's what I'm saying.
Different group.
Doesn't really work that way.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. For example, here's a question, and I realize this is the whitest group of people on earth, so I'm asking this rhetorically. For example, if you are a resident of an Indian reservation, and I'm not even sure if you have to live in the reservation or is it simply enough to be a recognized member of a tribe for these rules to apply to you?
Crickets.
So, for example, I do believe...
In order to gamble?
Well, I'm just saying to get any of the benefits...
Right.
Or,
yeah, that's
to
bad.
Take advantage right. of the sort of different rules that we have, you know, for Indians of this country. For example, I do believe that fishing rights for Indians are different than they are for just some normal guy. Just some guy from Brooklyn. So, but my question is, does that fishing have to take place within the reservation, or is it like the simple fact that you're a member of a tribe allow you to engage in, you know, to exercise those different rights on some other piece of land? These are all things I'm curious about because I desperately want to have a slot machine in the back of a truck.
Yeah, because you're now opening up so many questions. This is...
It's a legitimate legal conundrum. These are things that I'm trying to find the answer to, and there's no 800 number to call to ask this.
Right.
It's not like I can just call Pueblo, Colorado and ask them if, you know...
Oh, but that would be the place.
I suppose. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Are you an Indian, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, are you lying?
No, I'm not. I'm actually registered with the Confederate Tribes of Grand Ronde.
Do you have to go somewhere to register to be an Indian?
Oh, my grandfather actually registered me within the tribe.
I mean, I'm not trying to be flip about that. I'm really serious.
No,
is there literally like a list somewhere of?
Yes.
So how does that work? When you are born, is that where were you born on a reservation, or were you born somewhere else?
No, I was actually born in Salem. I wasn't born on the reservation, but I'm registered within the Confederated Tribes.
Okay. And so here's my question. So then, what does it take for something? Is it possible to have a mobile Indian reservation? A reservation on wheels, one might say.
Well, in theory, I would think so. I know that what the land that was deeded to the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, which has Spirit Mount Casino on it, was done so and let them be registered as a sovereign nation, but I don't know that it makes me a sovereign nation by just driving down the road in my pickup truck.
So this isn't like diplomatic immunity, where you know, just like if you get pulled over, you know, because you've got a case of dynamite in your truck, you can be like, you know, I'm an Indian, and then they just
Indian. It's okay. Yeah. No, not that I've tried that and been registered.
So, all right. So to the best of your knowledge, simply having you or another representative of the Confederated Tribes in the AM 970 vehicle would not necessarily make it a rolling reservation as such.
Probably not, but it's probably easier to ask for forgiveness than for permission.
I wonder if a cop would know that. I wonder if a cop, you know, came and gave us any trouble and we just sort of claimed that. I wonder if they would even know differently.
Oh, I actually have an ID in my wallet that says I'm registered with them, and it has my phone number and everything on it.
Well, so we just put that up on the dashboard, and...
This is a fantastic idea. What if it's not the AM970 vehicle? What if it's actually an Indian vehicle with our AM970 magnetic on the side?
Oh, there we go.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That seems like one more point in each column. I know that people think that I'm just being kooky about this, but this is one of those things... Like, you know, like trying to find out if kryptonite is a real element or not. This is one of those things that keeps me awake at night. I want to know the answer to this. Do you suppose there's a phone number, sir, that I could call to deduce the answer to this?
Not that I'm aware of, other than you could actually call the tribe.
All right. Do you have...
Is there an 800 number?
I was just going to say, does that require me standing on a hill and, I don't know, being in a sweat lodge or something? Is there a number I can call, or...
Yes, you have a fire and a blanket.
See, I was thinking that, but I didn't want to say it.
That's what I'm saying.
I can say it, though.
See, you know, he's on the phone, so
right.
We can make all the comments we want. Then it's sort of, then we're Lenny Bruce-ifying.
Well, here's another question.
Yes.
Are you available on 070707?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
All right. Okay. Hold on.
The Rick Emerson Show, of course.
God bless you, sir. All right. So let me do this, Gary. Let me put you on hold. Can you leave some contact information with Scotty J about this?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
All right, excellent. I'm going to put you back on hold. Thank you so much for calling and helping us out here. We'll try to get to the bottom of it. We may be in touch with you, sir.
All right. Thanks,
Thank
Rick.
You. I appreciate it. I'm going to put you back on hold. Scotty, can you please be talking to Gary on 2? We got to... are we behind, Sarah?
Yes.
Can we...
She doesn't even look up.
Sarah's made very awkward by certain discussions on this program. We can just... I mean, I don't think that's a big secret. Real quickly, then, let's try to get this settled so we don't have to... so we can get it... Because I know you're busy, Susan. I know
you're
on a busy schedule. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick, you just stumbled onto it, man. You have somebody that's an Indian declare themselves to be an ambassador to the United Nations, and then, bam, diplomatic immunity.
Exactly what we want. That's what we want, the Indian version of a golden ticket. All right, excellent. So there you go. All right, thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right, one more. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
You're asking for heap big trouble, white man. I think if you had not been blathering about it on air, you probably could have got away with it. But...
Have you been for those pesky microphones?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those deals where it's a sovereign nation on, you know, our own property, but, like, just because I own a place in Southeast Portland doesn't make that part of the res, you know?
Well, okay. We've been blowing my scheme all to hell, sir.
If you really want to know, you could probably call the Bureau of Indian Affairs, but then what happens, they probably start looking for the AM-970 van, and here comes the 7th Cavalry again.
Are you an Indian, sir?
I am.
Oh, see, there you go. Then it's okay. Then.
Okay.
That's fantastic. All right. Okay, well, perhaps this is one of my innovative but perhaps ultimately futile and misguided ideas then, Aaron. Yeah, Aaron's gone.
Well, remember, when we first sawed up the horns across the Hawthorn, we were looking at each other like, yes. And we got a lot of naysayers.
They laughed at me then. They called me a fool.
We all proved them wrong.
Yeah. They said I was a fool to dream. All right. How you doing, sir?
Very well.
All right. We should take a break. Well, I'm sorry, Susan. I was hoping to have a definitive answer here, but...
We'll figure it out. Or something else.
I have no graceful way to exit this bit. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We'll keep the Indian hotline open for a while, though. We'll see if we can get any other answers. Well, I mean, look, it's the least we can do after all that was done to them, Sarah. They really do deserve their own telephone number, at least. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Why do you hate Indians and America?
I passed my test.
Finally, back after this. Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Okay, I didn't know this. Rick. I've never heard this term. Rick. I don't know. Is it Amerindian? Amerindian. Rick, Amerindian has been a proper designation for over a century. It is descriptive, accurate, and sounds nice. I've never heard of you. Amerindian?
Amerindian?
Amerindian. I guess that is a...
I like that.
One of the many. It is sort of linguistically pleasing.
All right, so is that what we're going to say from now on?
I don't know. Is it that...
I just feel kind of weird in the way that I've grown up saying Indian and over again.
I think, I don't mean to... I don't mean to sound as though I'm speaking down to you, but I do believe that is just because you've been told.
Oh, I know. We talked about this. We're like, yeah, we grew up in different time periods.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's just that. I mean, I think even I am old enough to have been told over and over and over again that calling Indians by a white European name, like American, is somehow an honor. And I just don't, like this guy says, Rick, it's Native American, you dork, which is immediately followed by, though, another email from somebody who says, why would you possibly refer to them by the name of the country that exterminated them? Which is, that's my whole thing. I just think that, like, of all the indignities that the people who were here before the Europeans came here, of all the indignities and horrors that they suffered, I don't think you can really make up for it by then shoving a white European name onto them. It just seems like insult to injury is my point. So I think, in my opinion, and I don't really know, because I am like the whitest guy on earth, it just seems to me like if you're going to call them something, and I'm not the first person to make this observation, if you're going to call them something, well, just call them, like... Cherokee or Chinook or Sioux or whatever it is, whatever tribe they happen to belong to. And I think if you don't know what tribe they belong to, then I think Indian is probably an acceptable alternative, again, as opposed to shoving some European name onto them, which just seems dumb and inaccurate anyway. So, all right, Rick, you should simply announce that all members of the Emerson Army are from henceforth known as the Waka Waka tribe. We're not going to do that, but thanks, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you for helping. All right. Well, we got to, let's see. We got to do these calls. Then we'll have Tim Riley. Then we got the top five male singers who sound female and so forth. And, okay, then we still got to do, what are those? Commercials. Yeah. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. What's up?
What's up? What do you got, brother?
Firstly, say sorry about my voice. I'm a bit sick. I just sent you an email about a type of slot machine that's legal to use and own in Oregon, exactly like a regular slot machine. You pull the handle, the little wheels turn, but you push a button to stop each individual wheel. therefore it becomes a game of skill, not a game of chance.
This is so convenient. You know, the thing about it is Oregon just has the weirdest, it's not just the liquor laws here that are strange. Oregon has the strangest, most anachronistic system for figuring out what is legal and what is not.
Yeah.
So, all right, you know, we should talk to our good friends at, and I'm not saying this by way of a plug, but we should talk to our good friends at Wild Bill's about this. They might be able to answer the question, actually. All right, thank you, sir.
All right, good luck.
All right. Let's see. This guy says, hey, by the way, Rick, oh, this is the guy who sends the Amerindian thing. He says, I am an Amerindian Mohawk. And then he has a whole link to some page about it or something. So that's a term I'd never heard before. I know, I like it. It sounds nice, though. Let's see. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, since it's the 7th, you should probably get 7 ski boats out on the Columbia, just like the river boats in Missouri. On the Mississippi.
We were talking about that's the whole thing because the 777 is coming up, and we couldn't figure out what to do. It'd be so much easier if they hadn't moved that Harry Potter release date, which I thought was going to be on the 777 date, and then they moved it to the 24th and so forth. But I don't know. I think anything that involves contact with the Willamette is a bad idea, since I think everybody's been advised not to look at it, breathe it, or let it touch their skin in any way.
But if we jump in the Columbia, then we're between state lines and not necessarily in either state.
Yes. I see. So your whole thing is to put it on the river so we're beyond the reach of the man.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right. There you go. Let's see. Oh, apparently the apparently it's pronounced like hammer, like Amerindian. Oh, Amerindian. Okay, that's a cool. That sounds like a crystal of some kind, but that's a cool name. He says it's still wrong, though, since Native Americans have nothing whatsoever to do with India. It was a mistake that was originally... This is a story I hear all the time, and I never know if this is true or not. He says it was made when the first explorers arrived here and assumed that they had reached India. That's a thing I hear all the time, but I don't really know if it's true or not. That's one of those things that sounds so plausible that I think you sort of assume it's true, but I don't really know if it is. Like, especially in terms of Columbus, who never came here, by the way. I mean, Columbus never even came to the continental United States. So that's one of those things that I'm never clear about. All right. It's all very confusing. Let's see. What are we doing here? Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? Listen, the Native American Museum in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Is being relocated to Oklahoma, making room for... Christopher Columbus Museum.
All right, you're screwing me. That's not really true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're relocating down there in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Are they really moving? You're kidding me. They can't possibly really be moving an Indian museum to make way for a Christopher Columbus Museum.
Well, what do you think?
That sounds like a bad joke.
It sounds like a bad joke. Yes. Yeah.
And it turns out it was.
Thank you so much. No, because that's one of those stories that just even on this program couldn't possibly be passed off as real. All right. Rick, about your new medical hair restoration ad, is Halo 3 beautiful in the same way as sending a man to the moon as a recent medical advancement? Ha ha. Just wondering. Uh-huh. Thank you. Thanks so much. All right. And our final call on this, and then we're going to do some other things. Then we have Tim Riley. Then we have the top five. Blah, blah, blah. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you, sir?
Yeah, hey, Rick. I just got done talking with the gentleman at the slot machine store out here in Southeast, antique slot machine store.
Yes.
And what he said is that you need to disable the coin drop, and you would also need to disable the payoff, and then you'd have to go and get the permission from the police and possibly the lottery commission. And basically, you know, what it really boils down to is Whitey ruins everything.
That really is... That really is a lesson that is taught to us over and over and over again on this program, by the way, sir, that if you really want to mess something up, just get Whitey involved. Eventually, it happened to Jazz, you know? All right.
Yeah. Thank you. Discover your special purpose.
All right. Well done. Good reference. You know, that's our friend Becca. That's her MySpace quote. I found my special purpose. All right. All right. I play that clip now, except it would look like I'm lifting it from Don and Mike. Don and Mike have taken to playing that "Don't Never Trust Whitey" clip every day. So I got nothing. I'm not gonna do it. All right. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick, whatever happened to the race of people you were going to create to blame everything on? Oh, and what celled organism would Paris Hilton be? Answer: a parasite. Ha ha. Z. All right, thanks. All right, before we break, let's do this. This is a thing we don't do very often in this, but we don't do this nearly often enough. Let's spin the AM 970 Wheel of Topics. Dateline Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. A Mexican doctor surgically removed drug traffickers' fingerprints, substituting skin from the soles of their feet to help traffickers avoid arrest, authorities said Friday. The doctor, Jose L. Covarrubias, was arrested at the border as he tried to enter the U.S. on Wednesday, the same day he was indicted. I remember I was let me just say this.
I can do much better with that.
Really?
Glanced at me. It's hard to get yourself on once you get yourself into it, isn't it?
I was just going to say, I remember being really, really, really tired one time at about 4 in the morning. And I was working at some station where I had to do the overnight news or something. And I was so tired and my brain wasn't working and I was all fogged up. And I kept you get that foggy thing where you're just, it's like you're trying to read the words, but you are so fogged up you can't even, it's like your mouth and your brain aren't even connected. And I kept saying indicted. Like, the same thing, I used to be really, really tired on the radio, and I'd say, their new album debuted at number one. Anyway, the same day he was indicted in connection with a marijuana dealing ring, blah, 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 blah. Okay, but listen to this now. He was apparently doing this surgery where he removed your fingerprints. The DA says, we heard these stories, but we didn't believe them.
He removed them or he covered them?
He covered them he removed their fingerprints is what it says. Substituting skin from the soles of their feet. There's some Paul Simon joke there about diamonds on the soles of your... Anyway, the DA says, we heard these stories, but we didn't believe them. We caught Mark George, though, and we all became believers. George's hands are still mangled from the procedures, which authorities believe was performed at him in mid-2005. I don't know... Okay, here's my thing about that. Because this is a thing that you used to see in old spy movies sometimes, about... Like, you know, you would see these spies where they would, like, cut their fingers and pour acid into the tips of their fingers or something to destroy their fingerprints. First of all, A, they're called gloves. Why don't you just wear them? And I always wondered about this. Could you just, dip your fingerprints or at least put the pads of your fingers in, super glue or something? Wouldn't that work? Like, if you had super glue, couldn't you just smear super glue on the tips of your fingers and just leave it there? I mean, I guess maybe that's bad for your skin after a while, or maybe your skin gets all raw or something. But, I mean, rather than doing the John Doe thing of just whittling your fingertips away, or this guy who, like, mangles your hands, it seems to me like if you had some epoxy or something like that, you just dip the tips of your fingers in epoxy, you go commit a crime, bam, you're good. These are all things, in addition to having people in the audience who can answer any number of questions about, for example, the Cherokee Nation, I also want to have somebody out there who's just going to answer medical questions like this, because there really is no way to ascertain the answer. We should break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley in just a few moments. Tim, is there much news to report?
Oh, very much so.
Okay. Later on, Scotty J's top five male singers who sound female. Not to be confused with a square candy that looks round. A doll joke for you there. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. As we celebrate. Start planning subliminal messages in this radio station. I don't know. Just because. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, listen to that K2 news guy when they're replaying the video clip in slow motion about the woman driving through the parade. He says the phrase, quote, no one was hurted, end quote. Really? Is that true? You'd think that sort of thing would come from KGW. Now that's sad. Ladies and gentlemen, he's short-timing it, and it's obvious with every syllable he utters today. Tim Riley, who will be absent.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
It takes a little time off.
I'm not suggesting you're doing a poor job. I'm saying, though, that you do have the sort of relaxed, laissez-faire sensibility today of somebody who is about to go on vacation.
Well, I have to remember to pick up my dry cleaning.
Life is hard.
It is.
Who's doing your news tomorrow in the afternoon?
I think it's the melodious tones of Scotty J.
Well, how could that go wrong? Do you feel that Scotty is...
Absolutely.
Okay, I can't wait.
Well, here come the ships, and the last of them, they're going to be blocking traffic and making you miserable.
The power of KUTU.com.
I'm sorry, that's me. That's usually you, but today it was me. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the ships are going to come in at 4, 6, and 6:30, and they're going to be docking at the Burnside and Steel Bridges. That means if you ride the MAX, they're going to take you off and put you on a bus full of sweaty people at the Old Town area, which is bad enough to be in the first place. And if you go into the airport, well, they'll throw you on a shuttle bus.
How's that sound?
Great. Well, now, Paris Hilton will serve 40 days under house arrest and wear an attractive ankle bracelet. She got off easy, not so with Martha Stewart. She spent 5 months in prison.
See?
Robert Downey Jr., a year.
That's what I'm saying.
Little right Kim, there. 10 months. Oh, wasn't that murder or something?
I don't know. What was Little Kim even in
for? She witnessed a murder.
When she wouldn't rat, right?
Yeah.
She, as the kids say now, she stopped snitching.
Mm-hmm.
As, what's his name
no
says.
No kids say that.
No, the kids, they do say that. Who's that guy? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Oh, that guy.
They had a super snot dog receiving a three-year suspended sentence.
Snot dog.
And 800 hours of community service. Winona Ryder, the shoplifting girl, she got 3 years probation and community service. And Boy George got something, pushing around a dustbin or something.
What is probation? I've never understood that.
Probation means that they let you go provided that you don't do it again.
Don't do it again, they say.
It means, you know, it best news ever.
Come on, Jim.
Is it Friday? Probation means that you're set free under the understanding that if you step out of line once, they're going to beat your ass. Where is Winona Ryder? You know, she's got a life sentence in my heart. I don't know where she is right now. She's just vanished, hasn't she?
She's out shopping.
Let's see if... That's what they call
an
it anyway.
81-year-old
Let's see if they say this hurt
barreling thing. Through barricades.
She really is hot, Deborah
parade,
Knapp.
Putting several lives
Where's
in
Where's she
danger,
been all my life?
And it happened right in front of our cameras. K2's Tom Jensen is live in the newsroom with the video and the charges against the driver, Tom.
Now, the key word, this is like Groucho Marx, you bet your life. The secret word is hurted.
Yeah, the driver went right through the barricades on Sandy Boulevard just before the parade was set to start at 1 o'clock. It was all police could do to get the woman to stop and get children out of the way. Ran after 81-year-old Janet Gasser's Honda on foot and followed close behind on ATV, screaming at her to stop. An officer had to jump out of her way, and children on skateboards were almost hit. Police finally stopped Gasser with the help of an emergency vehicle. No one was in the vehicle. No one was hurt. Investigators say Gasser...
That sounds like a stumble. Let's do it one more time here.
That's why she drove through the barricade. She is in jail right now, charged with reckless driving and... With the help of an emergency vehicle, no one was in the vehicle, no one was hurt. Investigators say Gasser...
I think he's just a poor speaker. I think it's just like I wanted to talk. I think his dialect is just lazy there.
Oh.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, an NBC executive says he'll do anything to get Rosie. The new programming chief, Ben Silverman of NBC, telling friends he'll do anything to get O'Donnell onto the network, and not just in daytime. Silverman is talking to O'Donnell about hosting a primetime game show. It's something also a daytime hour, I Love You. Is that correct? I Love You?
I Love You too, Tim.
I Love You? I Love You.
Let's all hug.
I'm feeling a little hurted. I think that's enough on this. I don't think it's going to get any better to you.
Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back at 4, 5, 6, and 7 o'clock tonight.
Oh, that's true, isn't it?
Magically. And so forth. Tomorrow, Scotty J. All right, well done, Tim. Thank you. Fantastic. Tim Riley.
Enjoy your day off, Tim.
All right, we got one more break in the top five. How do you feel about our chances of getting that all done?
Slim to not happening.
Well, we'll try.
I think that we could do it.
Real quickly, hi, Rick Emerson Show. Go.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, you were talking about the person changing the fingerprints to the footprints and stuff.
Uh-huh.
First of all, the whole concept's ridiculous because you're never fingerprinted until you apply for something or get in trouble with the law. However, when you're first born... The first thing they do is take a footprint of you.
That is true. I have a footprint of mine. My mom has it anyway at home.
So, if you know, I mean, all these people that they want to find and check on and stuff, the footprint would be the first thing that they should go to. I don't know. Of course, it means we have to carry a lot bigger driver's license, you know.
Yes, that's true. Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate that. God bless you. There you go. That's Mike. Excellent. Well done. Oh, wait, before you go, this email says, wait, hold on, let me see if it'll even open. My email's been acting really weird. No. No, it doesn't even want to open. All right. Screw that. Wasn't meant to be. Back after this with Scotty J. We'll try to fit in the top five as well. Like is a three. Flash Friday coming up today. I'm sorry, not Flash Friday. I do keep thinking it's Friday. Like is 101 today from 5 to 7. Donna Mike at 7. Back after this. That is part of the broadcasting day.
Five, four, three, two, one, fire.
We're all a little loopy today. I don't know where it's coming from.
Counting is one of work.
Oh, by the way, Kristen from accounting says Deborah Knapp just got married, so she's not available. Well, counting not on an ongoing basis.
Counting is ecstasy. I love to.
Sorry.
Why does this
still
come out of your mouth?
I don't really know the answer to that. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Scotty J presenting today's top five songs. Top five male singers who sound like females.
That's right, Rick. These are the top five he-she songs, presenting to you the songs that are sung by a he that sound like a she. At number six, the honorable mention, it goes to Leo Sayer. Make me feel like dancing.
I can already see one omission from this list that is inexcusable.
Is it the one we were talking about earlier?
You can't have
you. Oh, no. Well, no, that's also an omission. Yeah.
I think that's the ultimate.
Now, you believe me when I say there's always 20, 30 songs to every single top five we do, and it is so tough to narrow it down, but Leo Sayer, he's definitely an honorable mention on this.
You know, it's a poor workman who blames his tools, Scotty.
All right, number five.
I'm just going to say, some look for opportunities to succeed, Scotty. Some only give excuses to fail. Which are you? This boy, goddamn, does he sound like a little girl here, though.
I'm confusedest.
I haven't heard this song in a long time. All right, next.
The number five song, Supertramp.
I hate Supertramp so much.
See, we have a lot of dislikes, you and I. I mean,
what does that mean?
He dislikes things that I like, and I like things he dislikes.
I swear to God, sometimes it's like somebody has gone through your brain and just erased a bunch of the words from your vocabulary, so your sentences just have big grammatical holes in them.
I've been texting too long.
Super doesn't sound like a girl.
Gets higher.
I suppose if by woman you mean Eric Idle in a dress.
That's pretty high. Well, I mean, they're obviously none of these male singers are going to sound like a female. Because
Tim's going to be on a plane any minute now. He'll be away from here for a few days.
Hey, maybe we can talk about Paris tomorrow sometime.
Move on.
Number four, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, well, I think that kind of goes with that thing.
All right, number three.
Okay. We're dwelling a moment. I'm just saying it seems like a bit of an obvious choice, but that's okay. Well, you know what? He doesn't sound like a girl either, now that I think about it.
He will as
this progresses.
All right,
hold on. Well, let's listen. Is this at the right speed?
What song is this?
This is what? Who is it?
This is Michael Jackson. Who is it? And I'm trying to remember the name of the album. It was a black in color.
Unlike Michael Jackson himself.
See, it's a little girlish.
Really, you're really only right so far in the Leo Sayer. Everything else is wrong.
Oh, come on, Supertramp.
This doesn't sound girly either.
This is like the most masculine Michael Jackson has ever sounded.
Seriously, he sounds positively butch.
Right there, listen. There you go. That sounds like
all
a girl.
All right, let's move along.
Number three goes to Zebra.
What's your deal with insisting on playing Zebra?
First of all, they're rocky. Second of all, rock sounding, that is. They are. They get really high notes.
You know, like every third top five, since we've started to let you
since we started to have you assemble the top fives, like every third top five list you bring me has zebra on it.
It just seems that way because you never get to those top five lists, so you stare at the word zebra for a couple weeks. In reality, we've only had two zebra songs.
How much does this sound like Def Leppard, though? I mean, come on. This completely sounds like High and Dry era Def Leppard. Which came first? Now, this is pre-Def Leppard, though, right?
No, Def Leppard was before this.
Really?
These
is
guys.
That true? I'm not, but they were the biggest zebra fans, so.
I think these guys were mid-80s, 87-ish.
Counting down the top five male singers who sound like females, I think you're really way off on most of these. Sarah has an admission to it. I have somebody you've left off the list, and so does Sarah, by the way.
I bet you I had him on my list, too, but we'll find out. So number two song goes to Queensryche. Now, this one...
Is this early Queensryche? Yeah, this
early,
is Queensryche.
Early Queensryche.
Yeah,
he really hit the high
This
notes.
Is like, what, 85, 86, something like that?
Hey, listen to that right there.
I don't really know that Jeff Tate sounds like a girl so much as he just sounds like a... he just sounds like he has a falsetto. Yeah, I'm disappointed in the top five. I feel you blundered spectacularly.
You know, Rick, I tried to please you. I tried to put some rock songs in there, put Zebra and Queensryche in there. I would have never picked these songs, but you had that influence mentally on me to put some rock in there.
Who is this?
Queensryche.
I thought it was Iron Maiden for a second.
Well, that's what I mean. It's not that he sounds so much like a woman as he just sounds kind of like Bruce Dickinson. And that's kind of that thing.
Right. Hey, I share a birthday with that guy.
Moving on.
Number one song, giving this one to Journey.
Boy. Well, you're talking about a band that... I mean, it's like somebody went through and vacuum sealed all of the rock out of this band.
I like the band with Steve Perry.
Okay, this sounds like a woman. This sounds like, you know who this sounds like? This sounds like, what's her name? Betty Davis eyes. Kim Carnes?
Yeah.
This sounds like Kim Carnes. I could see that.
You know, maybe an easier top five is women who sound like men.
I can totally see that. Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, there you go.
Marianne Faithfull.
Pat Benatar.
A little bit. All right. Well, this is terrible. How long until the end music starts? All right.
You never told me who I omitted from the list.
Oh, Sarah, do you want to go first?
Well, I'm still trying to... It's buffering, so you go first.
Well, I'm just going to say that really it seems like the Bee Gees ought to be on here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you want to think about like that... And I'm not talking about like I started a joke era Bee Gees. I mean, clearly, like, right. I'm talking about Saturday Night Fever era. You listen to that more than a woman. You know, any...
Absolutely.
Staying Alive, any of that stuff. And they absolutely sound girly here. And I think Sarah's got one that you left off the list. No, seriously,
that's
dude,
true.
Tiny Tim sounds more like a woman than anybody on this list.
You know, Smokey Robinson was going to be on the list, too. We had him the other day. And...
Smokey Robinson. Tiny Tim is unnerving.
That's so weird. So what was his deal? I know.
I used to work with a woman who looked just like him. What?
What's his deal? Like, was he an entertainer? Or?
Sort of in the broadest sense. Tiny Tim, I don't have time to do the whole thing. There's probably, it takes up a huge section of my encyclopedia of pop culture at home. Tiny Tim, I mean, that was his whole deal, is he was this weird, he-she-looking man-child who played a ukulele and sang these songs in this really incredibly high falsetto and was sort of not effeminate as such, but just very sort of, kind of like Michael Jackson, not effeminate so much as childlike. And Tiny Tim's greatest fame came when he married his girlfriend, this woman named Miss Vicky, live on The Tonight Show, which was, at that time, the highest-rated moment in the history of television, which is when Tiny Tim and Miss Vicky got married by Johnny Carson live on television. And then he just kind of spiraled downward into mediocrity. And
is he dead?
Yeah, he's dead a long time. Because really, what else can you do when you're this guy? Like, where do you go from here? And it was so sad. He was like 80 years old and still trying to do the same shtick with the long hair and the ukulele.
Aww.
And I think he overdosed in a flop house somewhere in, like, Schenectady. So,
hey,
the end.
Did their marriage last?
No. Oh, and he was divorced and broke, too. There you go. Ending the show as only we can. You're all going to get cancer. All right, Rick Emerson, show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom, Tim Riley. Our PA is Scotty J. And, of course, the gatekeepers, the one and only Dave Zinn. Join us tomorrow. We'll have Scott Daly from FilmPeopleRadio.com and our good friend John Baker playing the part of Tim Riley. We went to next CNN Radio correspondents Dick Giuliano, Rachel McGrath, and, well, we never did hear from Bob Costantino today, did we? Damn him all to hell. Damn his black heart. All right, like us next. Don and Mike at 7. See you tomorrow now. Bye.
Come on, Jim.